this week, on the heels of the shakeup of gaming companies as we know them, the legend of Android gaming machines returns. Let's just hope it doesn't follow the same path as Ouya did. This is just one new Alphabet initiative. Join us for more of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of Orange Lounge Radio. We are live tonight on this March the 17th of 2019 with episode number 768 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, joined here in studio with my co-host. Say hello over there to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wearing the hat.
What hat is that? Oh, a little Pac-Man. Oh, a little video game. I got a gamer hat on, too. Look.
It's a Klonoa hat.
Let me hold it up.
Oh, it's a Klonoa hat. Oh.
It's an official Klonoa hat.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just Pac-Man because I can only see the one side. Awesome. Very cool.
Because he has Pac-Man on his hat.
Yes, he does. All right. And Techmaster Loki, of course, is here as always.
I'm here.
Let's see. Nothing video game themed on, or what's your shirt?
Oh, no. It's under the gungeon.
I couldn't see on the side.
Okay. I'm getting a whole bunch of new shirts this week.
But then I was like, nothing green. Pinch.
You see this? Do you see this world? I have green on my Apple Watch.
Happy St. Patrick.
It counts.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to those of you that are in the mood for the season. Or some of my friends call it straight pride.
Oh, it's an oatmeal shirt.
Today, I'll explain this in a minute. Today's that day. You know whenever gay pride gets brought up, there's always that troll that says, "Well, when do we get straight?" Here you go. Today's your day. Enjoy, celebrate.
How about
enjoy your moment?
Every day.
But like,
is white people straight pride?
All those characteristics are really on display today. Have you been down to downtown today? Have you been down K Street?
I avoided it like the plague.
Anyhow, okay. So the shirt I'm wearing, for the sake of the podcasters, we are a podcast, but we do tape live at Twitch TV every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 Eastern, at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com or VOGNetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. And so the shirt I'm actually wearing is a Beat the Blurch shirt from when they did those marathons a couple years ago. Okay, here's the funny thing behind this. So I actually didn't run the marathon. I was all signed up, ready to go. I got super sick the night before. And it wasn't one of those like, oh, I'm sick and I don't think I can go. I was like sick. So it wasn't happening. So my pal Melody went and she brought back this shirt. So it's really funny because it says, I beat the Blurch and I ran 5K. And it's like, no, you didn't, ho. But oh well, I still have the shirt. And it's one of the only green things I own. So it seemed appropriate to wear tonight.
A little warm for today, though. We did get quite toasty.
I have not been outside all day. How sad is that?
I foraged today.
Did you?
For dandelion greens.
Okay.
Well, it was definitely eating a lot in the U.S. during the Depression,
mm-hmm.
because people ain't got no money for food.
Mm-hmm.
But dandelions, the leaves are full of calcium and iron, and the blossoms are actually edible as well, good source of fiber and beta carotene.
Are you vegan?
No, fuck no. Okay, hey, listeners, do you see this?
little traditional dish.
This is dead boiled cow, and it has been in my mouth. It is almost as salty as I am.
Right. Almost. But nothing can meet those levels besides
dead,
maybe the ocean.
Boiled bovine.
Anyhow. Hello to everybody in our chat room, because again, we do tape live at Twitch.tv/VogNetwork, and we do have lots of folks in chat. Some folks also noticing on Twitch tonight, we did a special, our border tonight is green. Just a little wink and a nod to the day today, and Bobby joined in on that too, so that was kind of fun. So yeah, there you go. Let's get into some video game discussion. After all, we are a show that talks about video game and gaming culture. And I guess this first kickoff topic tonight is a little bit about gamer culture. But this one's been all over the news. In fact, I'm looking at an article that actually came in on Reuters about this. And it has to do with influencers, right? Influencers and those people that can influence people.
I hope the camera can pick up my eyes rolling.
I don't know. It's a little further back now, Loki. You might have to roll them really
well,
good.
That's why I'm just, you know... subtitling that with my eyes are rolling.
Before I even say the name of the influencer, why are you rolling your eyes over here?
Because it's not a non-story. I mean, obviously you pay people, like any brand, you pay people, you know, to sponsor stuff.
All right, let me tell you what you're talking about. Okay, so long story short, so Ninja, whose real name is Tyler Blevins, it seems like was paid $1 million to promote Apex Legends. Which one might argue successful campaign, because Apex Legends has been doing very well
for itself. Not necessarily because he did it, though.
That's true. You don't know if it's because of him or just because of the strength of the game itself.
I think it's just the game.
I think a big part of it is the game, too. I think, well, I want to get to the rest of the story, but I think a big part of Apex Legends' success is the fact that people were kind of like, I don't know about you guys, but like, I can only be sustained by one video game for so long. And I've joked about this on the show before, is that I have, and I don't mean to make light of like actual conditions or anything. So if you can think of a better name to call this, then I'm open to it. But I've talked about how I have.
Oh my God. Just let's not be so super PC about everything.
Gamer ADD. Okay.
Like, okay? Like we're going to start now.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
All right. I have gamer ADD, so I'll play like one thing for like 5 or 10 minutes. And then
I am totally offended by that. My son has ADD.
What would
ADHD.
What would you prefer I call it then?
I don't care. I'm just joking
there you
with
go.
You.
All right.
See,
about just general lack of attention span.
So anyway, my point is that I can only play one thing for
Rob
like
is
five.
Easily bored.
But you guys know I do this. I spend a bunch of money on a game. I play it for a little bit, and then it's like on to the next game. There's very few games that are able to hold my attention. Now, before, because I'm sure there's chatters already chiming in. What about the MMOs? Because I do play things like Warcraft, I play Final Fantasy 14, and I kind of tend to stick to those for a long time. But I think part of what makes those games a lot different is the more social elements of those games. But anyway, I was getting to a point with this with Apex Legends specifically. So with Apex Legends, the deal is that I think a lot of folks who are kind of like ready for the hot new thing after a couple months, I think they were kind of done with Fortnite. Not necessarily like done with Fortnite, like, oh, I'm over this game. But it's like when this new kid shows up on the block that's, oh, it's like a similar formula, but a little different and, you know, a different way of doing it. Like, I think a lot of people were like, oh, let's move on to this because it's like kind of what I enjoy, but something new.
Yeah.
Kind of what happened to PUBG once Fortnite came along. Not to say either of those games are doing terrible for themselves.
Or
both,
not even
both
like
do well, but you know, you can only be number one for so long.
Or maybe
right?
like not even necessarily Fortnite, but like, you know, maybe even Black Ops 4 or something like that. I mean, there's lots of different games out there. I think, you know, getting Ninjas because he's very well known for playing, you know, the Fortnite and whatnot, and maybe the thought was, okay, you get an influencer like this who has a lot of the attention of the Fortnite crowd. Maybe they'll see this and then want to try the game out because it is free to play. So I think that really helped a lot, is being that it's free and not trying to sell you a $60 game that they're going to throw the same type of microtransactions and sort of monetization schemes on top of.
Very true. I think the free thing really helps. Although Bobby Blackwolf in our chat points out, PUBG was the first big Twitch success story, which I would agree with. It wouldn't have gotten any traction if they didn't have big Twitch streamers playing it. Although PUBG wasn't free, if I remember right. It was kind of on the cheaper end of things, though.
PUBG isn't free, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a $20 game, I think, when it was first in early access.
It's still
like 20. They might have upped it a little bit, kind of like Minecraft. Remember, Minecraft was cheaper, and then the price went up when it got really popular? And I think PUBG is a very similar sort of story. I think it was cheaper in the beginning than it is now, but it's certainly not $60. It's still a budget title, if you will.
Yeah.
So, and that probably helps it as well. anyway, let's see. It was noted that Ninja had, Ninja had tweeted about the game on February 5th, and then he had 13 million followers on Twitch and went to play the game on Twitch, and he was paid for 1 million, and this was according to a source that gave that to Reuters. I think it's how you pronounce that, Reuters. So anyhow, and he may not have been the only one that was actually paid for this either. It sounds like there may have been other folks too.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the type of thing that they do, though. I mean, even with, like, Battlefield 5, I think they had paid influencers as well. There's a lot of games that they have paid influencers on. And I think the only reason it's notable is because it's like, oh, it's $1 million. But, I mean, honestly, it's the same as, like, beauty care lines paying, you know, celebrities to promote their stuff on Instagram or whatever the case may be.
Or
it's the same thing.
Or paying Kylie Jenner to promote Fire Festival.
Yes, exactly like that.
I'll be honest. I mean, even though I'm not like a huge, huge influencer, I got offered like some crazy ass discount to show off a cat ring. I wanted to buy one anyway. I mean, the only reason that they were asking people to pay for it is because the money goes back to charity for homeless cats. So I was fine doing it. So basically, they were only charging me the donation. And there's another channel out there that's called Pretty Pastel Please, and she's in Australia. She used to she still works in advertising, I think. But she talked about the whole influencer thing and how it works behind the scenes, too. So it's exactly as if there's a product to sell and there's someone that's streaming it, then money's going to go into it.
Right. I mean, and this isn't going to change. And it's a smarter advertised spend anyways, because what are you going to do? Actually put out like TV advertisements or anything like that? I mean, it's...
No one watches TV anymore.
This is the easiest way to get to your target audience is by going to where, you know, the eyes are. Obviously, Twitch streamers, YouTube streamers, social media platforms. It's going to be... It's basically targeted advertising for this type of stuff. And to put stuff elsewhere, I mean, doesn't really make sense. You're not going to get as much of a return on investment for that stuff. So
you have to,
it just makes sense.
It's like, I mean, to take it a lot more simply, it's like when people choose billboard placement. They're going to put the billboards in the place that the message needs to get out, number one, the most. Like, if it's for advertising, not just the, you know, y'all suck, you know, you homophobe, shut up. But I'm talking about, like, the advertising ones. They're going to put them, like, for restaurants on the side of a highway so that hungry people will go, well, I'm driving hangry, and go get a burger.
You know, I think in the interest, because you were talking before I was having my coughing fit. Sorry, guys. You were talking a minute ago about how you've been offered this kind of influence stuff. And I think in the interest of disclosure, so is Vogue Network and myself personally. In fact, we're talking about doing a game stream on Vogue Network right now. With a particular smaller publisher, but it's a much smaller thing. It's like, you know, sure, you give us an advanced copy of your game for free, we'll play it, you know, for a couple hours, just, you know, for the fun of it, you know, because hey, free game, and you know, something that we can, you know, premiere to an audience, hopefully. But I think what's striking, I mean, there's also, I think, a big step difference between that, between like, you know, ooh, free game for playing it early on stream, and $1 million. There's a big step.
I'd do it for a million.
Right. But to be fair, I mean, I don't want to sound like a bitter Betty either. You know, it's very, you can see how many people follow Vogue Network in my personal channel versus how many people follow Ninja. And it's very, very different. I would love it if 13 million people, actually, I don't know if I would love it if 13 million people followed Vogue Network, because then your every little thing goes under scrutiny and all that stuff. And like, you know, you joked about earlier when I was, you know, choosing my words carefully. Well, if we had 13 million followers, I'd probably have to be a lot
more.
Oh,
my God.
Stuff like that.
Are you telling me that some of their feelings are going to be hurt? Yes. Oh, no.
But
people with hurt feelings.
Well,
who gives a fuck?
Without going too far
into
that. I give
a fuck.
I give a fuck, too, because I think maybe not 100% of the time are these things that we see on Tumblr
but
and stuff
you,
always. But some of it is valid.
I understand that. But, like, using common sense, aside from, you know, the obvious things like being just like completely insensitive to people, you're gonna get, somebody's gonna get upset about some opinion you have about something. You can't please everybody.
I will say this, I think that, and this is just, people don't understand the difference between intent and impact. And so I think that we do have a responsibility to watch some of what we say, or make sure that we preface it saying, this isn't said with malice. Here's the story. I mean, I think call-out culture is a disease. But that being said, there are people out there who need to fucking be called out because they are doing it out of malice.
And I think the best example, and I want to move back into the story,
right.
But the best example I can give of this is that, you know, like back early when the show first started, I probably have used a phrase a few times that I picked up off Project Runway when he used to say hot tea mess, right? That used to be a phrase that was in pop culture and you probably saw it on Saturday Night Live. But, like, now, in the year 2019, I realize that that phrase ain't cool, and there's some people who, yes, their feelings get legit hurt when they hear that. And so, like, you know, I respect that. So that's what I'm talking about, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if somebody's going to get – but at the same time, okay, I have been a long-time running host of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, right? And there's some people that will write essays about how Rocky Horror Picture Show is problematic and all this stuff. And I –
Wasn't it meant to be?
In a way. And I say it is a product of a different time. In 1975, this is all there was, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. So some people, I think, want to be mad just to be mad. But some of it is legitimate. So we have to navigate this delicate place in between. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes, Ninja has 13 million followers and I don't. A TED Talk. Anyway, some other streamers were paid for this as well. EA paid Shroud, who I guess is a popular Polish-Canadian streamer with 6 million Twitch followers. But that guy actually declined because didn't want to – or no, I'm sorry. That guy declined to disclose the terms of the deal. So it sounds like he did it, but we don't know how much money he was paid for it and so forth. But interesting that this is a part of our gaming culture now, is that some of these people that we do choose to elevate, with our Twitch follows and the biddies and the subs and all that stuff, some of the people that we do choose to elevate are making coin off it, basically.
I still don't see why PDP is still around.
That is a whole nother Oprah that I don't want to get into right now.
Someone should just really duct tape his tongue to the top of his mouth and never remove it.
Anyway, let me go to our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. let's see. Some people are talking about me leaving the room. Bobby saying, we need to influence more, so we need you alive. Questbuster in our Twitch chat says, Apex Legends is something that Shroud probably would have played anyway. Also, he was consulted for the game months ago as a secret project, which he publicly admitted. And, you know, I've heard of that type of thing in the gaming industry before, not just with influencers, but I've heard of it with reviewers. You know, this is a thing, is that some game websites and some big game websites will take money to do a review of a game, basically, that is confidential between the site and the publisher. It's not the real review. It's a mock review, basically, but it's like the actual, like the way they would have reviewed it if they played that product today. That review is never published. It's sent to the publisher, and the publisher or the developer uses it to implement feedback and make the game better. And then the real game is reviewed by somebody else on the same site. Obviously, you can understand that once somebody takes a deal like that and has reviewed the game one time, that's not the same person that can write the review later on. But that whole, like, consulting with a personality is not particularly unique to the gaming industry. What I think is unique is that now it's not just like game reviewers, but it's game players and people who, in some ways, you could say review games live on stream. I guess that's kind of one thing I think I've seen done on Twitch before, maybe have done myself, is that I'm getting my first impressions of a game live on stream. And if I had 13 million followers, that's something I might be able to make a little more money doing. So, I don't know. Do you guys think this is a dangerous thing for the industry? Or it seems like, based on kind of like what I was hearing a minute ago, based on the fact that Instagram influencers are paid and other types of industry leaders are paid for endorsements, you know, lovely celebrities are paid for makeup campaigns and things like that, that maybe we're okay with this because this is what we do.
As long as they're following the law and the fact that they're disclosing that's an advertisement and that type of thing, I don't see a problem with it, which they all did. So as long as they're doing that, not trying to do some shady shit where, oh, I'm being paid to say something good about this, but I'm not telling you that it's an advertisement, that's the only problem.
Which YouTube had a big thing with that, I want to say about a year ago. Wasn't there a big issue on YouTube with that?
Yeah, the FTC coming down on like all sorts of different things. And they've been better about it because I think some people were unaware of what the law was. But I think it's been all right as far as people disclosing stuff, just as long as it's very upfront that, like, hey, this is a paid advertisement or, you know, paid sponsorship with this, you know, we're talking about this game and here's why, then I'm fine with it. I don't know. I don't watch Ninja, so I don't give a shit, you know, either way. And honestly, I don't think, yeah, it's good that he did that and he's promoting that, but don't think really the game needed that. It was pretty strong on its own, but
do you think maybe that and the, I don't think we want to say one person alone did this, but maybe the influencer campaign as a whole, let's say, and all these streamers that they may have worked out deals with to do this, do you think maybe that helped this punt out the gate? Because this game landed with a bang as opposed to a slow build. Maybe a game that took a little while for people to discover, and then it kind of became
what
might be more like a Minecraft type situation.
It would be interesting to see, like, how much of an influence those influencers had, like how this boosted the numbers. It'd be interesting to see, but I don't
know. Yeah, it's a bummer because Apex Legends, they don't ask you, where did you hear about our game? They don't really.
Well, they could have, like, I don't know, there could be maybe a link in the video or something like that that has some sort of like tracking tag or
something.
Funny
enough, that's the way Twitch usually does things if you're playing a certain game. Maybe I have to admit I wasn't watching those streams, so I don't know. But I do know that sometimes, like, as an affiliate, there are certain games, and it's not all of them, but there are certain games that if Twitch sells them on the store, if you're playing them on your stream, there'll be a little link right under the stream to buy the game, and then that streamer gets a little cut of the money, and then I'm sure they can measure all that analytics as well. So I don't I don't know. But, well, I guess, you know, I think they've got that whole Twitch Prime thing right now is running with Apex Legends. So maybe that's a way that they're trying to measure their audience. I don't know. There's a lot of...
Don't know.
I think this is a lot of uncharted territory. One other thing I want to bring up in response to what you said, because I thought it was interesting, because you talked about during the whole YouTube scandal that you had a lot of people who didn't know what the law was. Which, you know...
Well, they claim not to know what the law was. Yeah.
Fair enough. But I think when it does come to the law, you know, not everybody is very good at interpreting the law all the time. I think YouTube tried to make strides to dumb down the law and make these videos for creators to help YouTube makers understand the law.
Yeah.
I think that's part of what they felt their onus was to do, which is fine. But, I mean, it also goes to conversations about as our technology moves more and more and more, our laws don't always seem to get updated fast enough. We talk about this all the time when it comes to copyright, trademark, and IP laws. You know, the dancing thing that's come up before, right? With the Carlton is in the game, and how do we handle that, right? That whole thing is just like this uncharted territory because the laws aren't being updated as fast as the technology.
Yeah.
It's just causing this very interesting
And they're
sort
not going to be, unfortunately, because you have people that are – have a lot more money that want to control things so they can keep all that money and it's not going to change.
Yeah, very interesting. Let's see. Other comments in chat. Fifth Dream in chat says, to me, it just seems like business as usual. They do it on TV always. So, and Questbuster follows that up with, same here. I'd be more surprised if EA didn't do something marketing-wise, Fifth Dream. So maybe this is just this interesting new territory. Maybe you're going to see – I think it's kind of happening already, but maybe you're going to see more and more – folks on Twitch, you know, getting some sort of maybe either compensation, be it, you know, free game or maybe a
well
bit of
maybe we'll see that with EA's Battlefield 5 thing that they've got the new battle royale mode that's coming to Battlefield 5 that they had a trailer out for this week. They'll be showing that off because everybody's got to jump on that bandwagon. All I got to say is you can't be an industry leader if you're following people, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to what sorts of games have been influencing us this week as we talk about how was our gaming week and the types of video games that we've been playing this week. Dark Sakura, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
I played a bunch of pinball, really. Pokemon Go. I touched Ingress once just to see if it was still there. I'm still playing Idle Pouring. I don't really mention it, but I'm still playing it. I'm borrowing Horizon Zero Dawn. I haven't started it yet, but I figured I would start it on stream or something. I was actually planning on starting to stream this week, but I have a birthday party on Wednesday night, and I'm going to see Renee on Thursday. So, which, by the way, thank you so much for that shout-out about women in games here in Sacramento. That was awesome.
Oh, that was something that Bree did, right?
Oh, sorry, that was Bree. Why did I say Renee?
I don't know.
But thank you, Bree.
Because Renee was also floating an article this week, but it was about a different topic.
I posted Renee's thing. My brain is like broken.
It's fine.
Sorry. I have a donut.
We miss her, though. She should come back to OLR when she's ready.
I miss everybody.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go hang out with Renee. And so maybe I'll play games while I'm in San Francisco. Oh, while I was at... did I talk about the Munsters release party at CoinOp?
You did a little bit, yeah, last week.
I did? Yeah, I didn't know if I had mentioned it, but that was lit, so.
Cool. We actually had a tweet that came in this week about some folks who were appreciating the pinball talk that came up on OLR, and I was like, Dark Sakura is a big pinball fan. How many machines do you have in your house now?
Six in the house.
I meant the house collectively.
No, I'm actually having to do the math on it. We are giving back Bride of Pinbot 2.0. We're borrowing it.
Uh-huh.
We're trading back Adam's family to get our Twilight Zone back. So Twilight Zone, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Judge Dredd.
I thought she was counting like the ones in the house versus the ones in the garage. And I'm like, same thing.
Oh, The Shadow.
Uh-huh.
And one other I can't remember. So we have, I think, 11... right now?
It's enough where they're not only in your garage, but you have a spare bedroom.
We move more in the house because Dan's Mustang is coming home.
Oh,
so we have to clear out the garage so there's room for the Mustang.
Wow.
The no longer Rustang. It's a 1969 Mustang coupe, so
yeah.
Do the math. It's huge.
Okay.
Damn muscle cars,
though. What's your favorite table you own? I already know this.
I actually have two.
Oh.
World Cup Soccer is my favorite.
That's the one I
But my second favorite is Theater of Magic.
And what's the worst table you own?
fuck. I really hate Judge Dredd has grown on me, but I do not like Creature from the Black Lagoon. A lot of people love it. It's just not that fun for me. And probably my least favorite of all time would be The Hobbit, the new one, because it's slow as fuck. Do not like a slow table. But, you know, it turns out that I have a type with designers. While I love everything Steve Ritchie has done, I seem to be a John Papaduke girl. So, because my two favorites are Papaduke tables.
All right. I felt it was appropriate to engage in a little pinball talk. So there you go.
Heck yeah. But we have Ghostbusters, and I've been playing the crap out of it.
For me, I'm still waiting for Pinbot to hit Virtual Console, because I love the NES version of Pinbot, even though I know a lot of people hate it. I loved it.
There, actually, we were watching some pinball game reviews, like, for NES versions. The version of the Getaway that came out for one of the home consoles was pretty terabad.
I think Getaway was the NES. I think they did that one after Pinbot, because I know there was a second
Getaway
game that came out.
Getaway was pretty not good.
Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf is a little bit inspired, perhaps, saying, I still really, really need to finally clean out the room we're turning into our arcade so I can finally start down the path of Dark Sakura and Dan and collect pinball tables.
Absolutely. Well, you need to come over before we get rid of Bright of Pinbot 2.0.
Yeah, I want to come play that.
Do you know what that is?
Not the 2.0. I played you had a regular Bright of Pinbot at one point.
Oh, well, yeah. So basically, Bright of Pinbot 2.0 has an extra board added to it that has new rule sets. And it's linked to usually a color DMD that has, like, different game modes and different things and a new soundtrack, like a digital soundtrack. It's pretty freaking amazing. So after the show, everybody, look on YouTube and find video of a Bride of Pinbot 2.0 just soundtrack. The soundtrack makes me think of old Space Mountain.
Okay, fun.
And by the way, Dick Dale died.
I heard.
Yeah.
Sad.
So.
All right. Loki, how was your gaming week? What did you play?
I didn't play a whole lot because, like I said, I was working in Unity, trying to get myself back into the swing of working in Unity again. So I finished my code along tutorial thing. It was like some tank combat game, so that's done. I'm not really doing anything with that. I'm definitely not publishing that because that's just there's nothing different than what they provide. It's just kind of following along to kind of get into the groove of working in Unity, and also it kind of showed me a little bit of the audio mixer, which is something that they added a while ago, but since I haven't used it before, I didn't really know what it did, so that was kind of cool to learn that a little bit. And then let's see, I played a little bit of Dance Dance Revolution Extreme.
I saw your live stream.
Yeah,
a little bit.
So it was funny because, like, I haven't noticed this because, like, I have a legit Extreme. But I'm running a mod disc right now because I was playing other mixes, but I don't know if it's the drive or the disc I burned, but it doesn't run very well on the other mixes. So I put it back to Extreme because I just didn't want to mess with that crap anymore. So I have Extreme and I'm running mods in it, but I didn't realize that the Extreme version that's on that mod disc is a modded Extreme. So it's got extra modifiers on there, like the 0.5 speed wave, and there's some other thing. It was the stuff that was in, like, Extreme. It's not Extreme Plus, because I think Extreme Plus is the one with the Marvelous ratings in there. There's one, it's, what the hell is it called? Megamix. It's like Megamix, but Megamix also had one that can actually adjust the clock speed of the game so that the songs would speed up or slow down. So it's like...
Oh, that's like a Beat Saber type of thing.
It's Megamix mods, so it's got some of those in there. But I didn't realize it was in there until, like, I was playing. I was like, wait a second, 0.5 speed, that's not normally there. I'm like, oh, crap, this is a modded one. So I tried that in Max 300, and nope, cannot play it like that. It doesn't work well for me, so I was just playing other stuff, though. So I have been going through the mods some more, because I don't remember, like, some of these. And I also have to remove some of the ones I have duplicates on there, or just they're broken. Like, I have a Dynamite Rave one that I think I made, maybe? That's off by, like, at least a whole measure, so that kind of sucks. And then I played Pokemon Go a little bit. I didn't play too much on PC. I played a little bit of this game called Jelly Mario, which is a weird web game you can play. So it's jellymar.io, and go check it out. It's free, and you basically have to traverse Mario, and he's just this big jelly thing, and everything in the in the world is very jelly-like. And it's very hard, especially when you get to the castle, because you have to dodge all the fire bars, and sometimes you just can't get the momentum right to be able to pass through that. So I may play that on stream on Tuesday, because I'm planning on streaming on PC on Tuesday. Either may do Jelly Mario and Saints Row 2, but I wanted to do Saints Row 2 because I love Saints Row 2, and it's a great game. And I watched some other guy that I follow, Call Me Kevin, play it, and it looked hilarious. I'm like, I remember how hilarious that game was. I want to play that. So we'll be doing that. And I'm going to try to stream more DDR during the week. I wanted to stream more actually earlier in the week, but I was fighting with stupid OBS because it decided that, oh, hey, you don't have permissions to run this anymore for no reason. So I had to download it again, and it finally worked. But it took me 30 minutes to figure that out. But yeah, I need to get back into the swing of playing DDR every day instead of just like once or twice a week.
All right.
That's it.
My gaming week. My gaming week probably a little more scaled back than I'm used to. I don't want to talk a lot about this yet until I've really truly made it a habit, but I'm trying to change my fitness journey, and that all started this week. So I'll leave it at that for now until I actually stick with it, because I don't want to be that person that's like, you know, 2 days into it, like, I'm making these great, and then I fall off the wagon. So check in with me in a few weeks. But meanwhile, so that's been cutting into my time a little bit. But meanwhile, I'm still playing the good old MMOs that I have been sticking by, like World of Warcraft, which is funny because when I used to play and was super into WoW, I would do raiding and I would do all this stuff. I've been playing kind of by myself. But one thing I've kind of noticed about World of Warcraft that's kind of grown on me is that there's so much more you can do by yourself. Like, I've geared my character up to – I hit the point where my Resto Shaman is now out-geared my Warlock that I was running for a while. And my Shaman, whose name Porkchop, by the way, in memoriam of the very first queen to ever be booted from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Victoria Porkchop Parker.
So Porkchop is level 300. And plus, I just love a panda shaman
named
Porkchop.
I still miss your sassy pants, though.
She's still around. I haven't, like, I don't think I've deleted a character that was, like, above level 10.
If I play, though, I'll probably move my dragon hunty.
We don't, I mean, honestly.
My dragon hunty.
Honestly,
demon hunty.
The only thing that matters about Horde and Alliance, the only thing that matters to play with other people is Horde and Alliance. Like, your server, like, just doesn't matter anymore. It really doesn't.
But I want to, like, play in areas.
I know, but you get moved over to other servers now. Like, the whole thing.
Oh,
like,
shit,
like,
yeah.
If you and I party, you'll suddenly be on my server.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah, no. And, like, servers don't even fucking matter anymore. It's great. Like, I wish Final Fantasy XIV would steal that technology. But anyway, yeah, I do a lot of world quests, and I just do a lot of, like, queuing up by myself and things like that. And that's just kind of, like, my mind-numbing thing to do. But I have played other games, too, and one I haven't talked about on the show yet, even though I started it last week and I played a little more this week. So continuing my PlayStation VR adventures and catching up on my backlog on PlayStation VR, I started playing Skyrim VR. So I've been playing that a little bit.
So that's a game that you've actually played that I have yet not played yet.
All right, high five. Woo! Okay. So, well, here's the thing. Once I found out you don't have to actually use the Move controllers, because I was like, that sounds like a ridiculous thing. And, like, look, don't get me wrong, like, Move plus VR is great for, like, Beat Saber, the sprint vector I was talking about last week. I did download that Radial G game as well. I played that a little bit. That actually doesn't use the Move, so I don't know why I brought that up just then, but I did. But I'm like, I don't want to play Skyrim with a freaking Move controllers. Like, this is too much. I don't need to – this is not how you play Skyrim. You know, you don't need to do it that way, right? So
yeah.
I just want to, like, controller, but just instead of my TV – VR, because the Skyrim world is gorgeous. It always was, even from the very first version of the game. So I wanted to see what that looked like in VR. So I'm playing just with the plain old controller, and I'm playing in VR, and it's a very good looking game. Like, I found myself doing the same thing I think a lot of us did when we first played Skyrim. I was stopping to stare at the flowers because I'm like, they're so purple and they're 3D and they're cute. So here's the interesting thing about VR, because obviously VR brings all these, you know, concerns about is somebody going to get motion sick and things like that. So what they do, they actually have all sorts of ways you can control it. But you can turn by looking and move in those directions. But what you do is that the right stick, instead of being a full pivot to look around and move, instead it, like, turns you automatically, like, maybe 30 degrees. One direction. So, like, if you tap left on the right stick, it just turns you 30 degrees one direction. And I think Now, I believe you can change it and make it a full rotation, but then that means your rotating is going to be different from where you're looking, and that's what makes people sick. So that's not the default, but they, if you want to play the throw-up ride, you can, I guess. But I'm getting kind of used to the whole being able to move on the right stick and, like, change my perspective. And it actually kind of works, and I dig it. It's and, you know, the way you actually target things then is to look. So let's say, like, I've been playing a mage, and let's say I zap a wolf, which, you know, as you're walking down from that first cave, you run into a couple wolves. So I zapped a wolf with lightning, and then to loot the corpse, you have to kind of, like, look at the wolf so that your little crosshair goes on it, and then you can loot it. So
that sounds annoying as fuck.
I'm into it. Like, I don't know if I could play the entire 20-hour experience this way. It's a lot. But, like...
20 hours.
Or whatever. How long does it take to do the main story? Main story only. Right?
I don't know. I've never finished.
Let's be clear. I meant main story only, not...
Have I ever finished
the way
main
Alan
story?
Played it.
Main story?
Like, just the main quest that gets you to the game's ending, so to speak. There is a main quest line, and it's separated from side quests when you're looking at your journal. There's very clearly a main quest line.
The Alduin main quest line, or the main quest line with the two factions?
I think the Alduin is considered, because the factions, can't you do both, technically? I don't know. I'd have to, my husband Alan is the expert on that, because he has played Skyrim every single, minus DLC. He didn't do all the DLC, but every single quest, except for the ones that generate, because there's like the generating quests.
Oh, God, those never end. Yeah.
Yeah, those never end.
And they're boring.
But I'm still pretty impressed at that type of achievement. But anyway, it's interesting. And I like watching different scenes. Like, so they do some things different. So that very first opening scene where you're in the cart and then you watch that guy get killed by the executioner and the dragon shows up, they do it a little differently. Because, again, they don't want to move you without you having some control over it. So what happens is that it kind of just quickly fades in to these different perspectives. So, like, you'll be standing there and it fade out, fade in. You're looking up at the sky and you see the dragon land. Fade out, fade in. You're looking somewhere else. So they – and I was kind of like, wait a minute. I don't remember it being that way in the regular game. And then I thought in my head, oh, they're doing that because they don't want to make somebody sick from motion that they aren't controlling. So they can't deliver that the same way that you could in a traditional monitor. So it's kind of interesting, like those subtle little differences, but it didn't like take away anything or whatever. In fact, I think it's good that they didn't just slap Skyrim in VR and say play. They had to think of some of these things. I thought was very interesting. So let's see, going into chat again at at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Bobby says, I stopped with the move controllers pretty quickly in Skyrim VR, but that's how you play Twilight Princess, right? Yes, but there is also a difference, is that Twilight Princess was designed from the ground up for that, whereas Skyrim, they kind of had to shoehorn the move thing back into it. Like, I'm sure it's a fine experience. It's just not what I want to play, because I don't associate Skyrim with that, whereas Twilight Princess, for me, quintessentially a Switch game. Yes, I know it was originally developed for Wii U, blah, 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 but we all know that they put a lot of thought into the Switch instead on that, and that, you know, it was going to use those types of controls. You know, at some point early-ish, in mid-development or whatever, they made a conscious choice to have a lot of Switch functionality in there as well. So, anyway. Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. They said Twilight Princess, and I immediately went to... my mind immediately went to the new one, Breath of the Wild. My bad. So Twilight Princess on Wii. Well, again, I still think the same argument applies. It was designed with the Wii in mind, even though, sure, it was also a GameCube. It's like the exact same thing, actually. So maybe that's why my brain kind of confused the two for a minute. Anyway, Bobby says they also fade in the edges of your vision when you move, which also helps decrease motion sickness. It does not eliminate motion sickness for people who are extremely prone. I noticed that, too. I noticed the edges narrowed in really quickly when you did that, and I felt I didn't haze the game for that, because I'm like, okay, there's very much a reason they're doing this. Like, it's very obvious, like, because when you look around, you have freedom. So, like, it's not a system. This is a conscious decision.
I would hope that I could turn that off, because, like, I don't have a problem with motion sickness. I played Minecraft on the Oculus, the Gear VR thing, and I used, you know, the controller. They're like, oh, you know, you shouldn't really – this is not necessarily recommended to use the controller for this. And I was like, nah, this is cool.
I can't speak to that specifically, but I can say there is a pretty extensive VR customization menu. And it wouldn't surprise me if that was something you could turn on and off. But, you know, I think it's smart that it uses the safest settings by default. Yeah, if that makes sense. So anyway, I'm talking a lot about a game that originally came out many years ago. So let's move on. I think that's it for our gaming weeks. I think it's time we get into some gaming news. I don't have a lot of housekeeping because I don't know of any shows off Memorial Day, but that's way our, the day before Memorial Day will be our next show off because I won't be here. So I'm out of town. So we won't have a show that weekend. So enjoy your 3-day Memorial weekend. I'm in Chicago that weekend.
When is this?
Memorial Day. No. So end of May.
Oh, I'll be at DragCon.
Oh, okay. There you go. So
I'll be doing, I don't know.
Staycation, programming, streaming, playing games.
Kids.
Kids.
That's probably right. Kids.
Let's get into some gaming news, Loki.
So GDC's right around the corner. And of course, the thought or the tease has been that Google's going to announce some sort of game console or streaming service or both or who knows. So, of course, a little bit more credence to that. Google has announced via their Google developers Twitter page that, hey, guess what? Id Software is joining them alongside during this whole presentation. Not only that, they've revealed that also Ubisoft is going to be partnering with them as well. So definitely seems to hint the fact that, hey, you had this whole test of, like, you know, streaming Assassin's Creed, and now you have them partnering with them, and you have other game companies partnering with them, that, yeah, probably there's going to be some sort of announcement at GDC. I think that's kind of expected at this point. But I guess we'll have to wait and find out March 19th at 12:30.
So by this time next week, we'll know.
Yes.
We'll be able to talk about it more in depth on the show. But any thoughts? I mean, you talk about this whole streaming thing, so does it seem like maybe Google is going for a streaming console that will stream, but not... Is Google making the Phantom? That's what I want. Making the Phantom?
If it's going to be exactly like the Assassin's Creed thing was, I would see it being built into the Chrome browser. That may not be the case for, like, say, you know, like Android or something like that. Maybe they'll have an app to go along with that or something. Maybe they're gonna put out their own standalone app or, like, kind of Google TV type thing that's going to have that built into it. We'll have to wait and see. But I think since they were testing the whole browser compatibility with that, that's probably going to be the route, at least one of the routes that they're going to go. So we'll have to wait and see. Because, I mean, think about it. I mean, a lot of people use Chrome, and you can just, hey, install Chrome, and boom, you have access to these games. You know, if you want to pay a subscription or whatever the case may be. And then you get to play these games on a PC. And it doesn't even have to be a high-end PC. It can be just one that can run that, that has somewhat decent specs, I think, and a decent internet connection.
Let me ask this kind of weird question. Is that we know that Google, and for those that are on Twitch, my watch is yelling at me to stand, so I'm going to stand for a little bit. So if it looks weird, sorry. Let me ask you, like, because we don't know exactly what this console is, you know, going to be doing. And, you know, we would be just theorizing things and, you know, we could get proven wrong. But what I can ask is, what would Google need to do? And I open this up to our chatters and Jamie, if you have an opinion as well. What would Google need to do to convince you to buy another console and have another console in your house? What could they do, knowing what you know about Google? What could Google do differently that hasn't been done before?
I don't know if there's anything they can do. They just have to have good games, good exclusive games. I'm not going to buy another console to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey or Doom or something like that that's already out on numerous other consoles.
Honestly, I don't really see any reason to buy it because I have everything else I already want. Most of my gaming lately has been on my PC.
Well, and to be fair, they haven't made the pitch yet, so yeah. We can say that now. But
if it's a system...
What needs to be in that pitch to sway you?
It's going to take something really huge. I mean, that's all it is, because, I mean, when Sony came out, you know, for a first time with a new system, they had a lot of good backing. They had stuff coming out that people wanted to play, although Toshinden doesn't necessarily count. But then, you know, it's really a system is only as good as the games that are on it. It's got to have the right games to grab that attention. Like, for example, if they had Namco behind them and Namco's like, we're going to do Klonoa 3 exclusively for Google's platform, I'd be like, bitch, mine.
Well, I mean, yeah, and to that fact, I mean, remember Game Center and stuff when they were trying to really hype that up on the whole iOS side? I mean, they had, you know, id doing, or was it Epic Games? I don't remember. Doing the one medieval, like, first-person game that they had on there. And that was just kind of, it was cool. Does anyone remember it now? No. It's just hard, like, saying, oh, yeah, we have all these games that are popular on other platforms, but we're creating a new platform. Why do I need to go to a new platform to play it? I want to know what you're going to do differently. Are you how you're going to make this more interesting than these other platforms? What are you going to give me that the other platforms can't give me? What game new, like, exclusively brand new games are you going to have on this platform that I can't get anywhere else?
Here's my thought. And, again, I don't want to go too far down this path because this is all theorizing anyway, but if it's, you know, being able to play games that are already available, what can they do to make you want to do that? Put out a $40 console. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but, you know, keep in mind what that little Google, what Chromecast, those aren't particularly expensive, right? What if there's something that incorporates gaming with that and it's, like, super cheap? And so it's like, hey, instead of buying a $300 Xbox, why don't you buy this $40
I get that.
If it's that, again. This is crazy.
I don't think that they could pull a $40 because Chromecast is basically just a receiver. Your computer, is sending the data to Chromecast.
I feel like I did this exact same thing last week. What if there's a Microsoft Xbox? But
they have like Google TV boxes aren't that expensive. Like my box, what was it? The My Box I have, the Huawei one I have. It's like $80. I mean, it's not that expensive, and it does. Like gaming stuff on it, like I can purchase games on there, like through the Google Play Store. You can install the Steam Link app on there. You can stream to it just like you can with a you know, one of those dongles. So, assuming that that's powerful enough to run whatever app that they have to be able to stream this stuff, then yeah, that would work just fine. I don't think you can obviously be a very expensive console if you're going to do that, but. Once again, I don't know if I need to really purchase another thing because I have smart. We're in the land of smart TVs nowadays.
Here's the thing, too, and my wish list would be that I hope Google takes a good hard look at why Steam Link failed. But I mean, we keep talking about this, but I think at the end of the day, this is going to be more the streaming and the existing games and all that might be one element of this. It might be a way to buffer the launch library or whatever of Google's games. But and I think this is very important. Isn't it out there now, like on Twitter or somewhere, that Jade Raymond is at Google? That's where she because, you know, she left her last thing when the Star Wars, right? She was on the Star Wars thing that got canceled, right? And she disappeared and nobody really kept tabs on where she ended up. Well, it came out this week. She's at Google. So whatever this is likely involves her and whatever she's working on now. So I don't think we're just talking about existing game. I mean, and I don't
right.
know.
And
she could be a vision person. Maybe she's not designing a game. I don't know. We're not going to know until we hear.
Yeah,
this
and game. And I hope that's the case because you're going to need to have exclusive stuff. Yeah, having all the other game things are good as well, but you need to have something that's exclusive to your platform because you can't just say, "Well, we have all these other games that those consoles have too," and you're like, well, crap, I already have that console that has those games, or I have a PC that has those games. The only thing I see that it's a pretty decent angle that they could go with is like, you know what? Say you don't have one of those consoles. Say you own a Nintendo Switch, and that's all you own, you know, and they can't run these in your PC. You know, you have a decent PC, but it's not a gaming PC, and you can't run this stuff. Well, this box will help you be able to play those games that you can't play elsewhere, and we can do it pretty cheap. And then that's, you know, and hey, we'll throw a subscription service in there as well. That's how I could see them being successful with it. But we'll see. I don't know. They've tried so many times with doing like exclusive. They tried to make like iOS is going to be like this big gaming centric thing. They've had exclusive games coming to it. And no one gives a shit about that as far as being like, oh my God, this is going to replace my gaming consoles.
I think what it is, and this is my prediction, take it or leave it. is I do think Google is about to launch. They want to be the Netflix of games as well. So they're going to launch a competitor to Xbox Game Pass, essentially. I think Google's looking to do that, and they're going to do it through something that probably integrates into your TV pretty easy, but maybe something they can also deliver through Android phones, although I don't think that will be very great for the gaming experience, but we'll see. Maybe Google will prove me wrong. I think they're going to launch their own type of competitor for that, and just like Netflix has to create their own originals, which hopefully they don't cancel, because that was in the news this week, but I digress. But just like Netflix makes their own originals like Stranger Things and shows that buff up the service, I think they are creating a few of their own in-house type of games to buff up whatever this is. But something very interesting, Google did have a game developer before, Niantic. Google let him go when that whole Alphabet split happened. Now, granted, what Niantic develops are not things for the television. When Niantic's been developing, of course, Niantic is the developer of Pokemon Go, but at the time, Ingress was kind of their bread and butter, but it turns out they were also creating this Pokemon Go at the time the split happened. So, Niantic's not creating games on the television, but I think it is interesting to note that Google did have a game developer that they and one that ended up being a pretty big deal after Pokemon Go that they let walk out the door. So, all right, they may still have an investment level in it. I don't know all the finances, but I think Nintendo is an investor. Google probably still has some money in it. We'll see.
And off topic a little bit, did you get to see the screenshots for the new Harry Potter game?
What?
That looked interesting.
Oh, yes, I did. I didn't make our show roll tonight. So some screenshots came out for Harry Potter Wizards Unite, ooh, which is the it's Niantic's next game. But
I still don't know what you do in the game.
They're partnering with – okay, so to going off script for a little bit. So they're partnering with the Warner Brothers studio, the Portkey Games.
Yeah.
And it really looks like, based on the screenshots, Portkey's helping them with the art assets to give it that Harry Potter look, because the game looks pretty nice. And it doesn't look anything like Pokemon Go or Ingress for sure. Basically, there's no teams. So Harry Potter will not be a team-based game. Everybody, it sounds like you will join a house for your character, but it's not something you're like locked into. And it's not something where it's like Slytherin versus Hufflepuff or whatever. It's not going to be like, Ingress or Pokemon Go are very team or faction-based. So it sounds like it'll be open. And it seems like it's about collecting what's called foundables. There's a lot of talk of things in the Harry Potter lore that, since I don't follow it as closely, I didn't get it as much. But it sounds like it's kind of like a successor to the ongoing story, but not the Cursed Child. kind of like in between that. And something where you're looking for like these foundables, because there's some sort of war that's brewing in the world where they have to bring all these collectibles back. And you play some type of magic force. And I apologize to the Harry Potter fans, because I don't know any of these, which, Jamie, I think you follow these books more than I do for sure.
Maybe.
Yeah. But you should look up the stuff that came out on the game this week, because there was very clearly some sort of Niantic press day that the embargo lifted, and all these websites did their previews the same day. So there's some more info on the game out there right now.
I'll take a peek, for my interest hath been piqued.
Yes.
Aha.
Yes. I think it's great that they're taking a no teams approach, because that tells me it's a very different game from the other two right out the gate.
I wonder though if they would like have your house based on where you live. So if you're in the U.S., you get like the Ilvermorny.
It does not sound like that's the case. It does sound like the four traditional houses come into play, because in the story, you're going out into the world to collect everything. So you could still be like, I think that's how they wrote it in the story. But never say never, Dark Soccer. And again, I am no Harry Potter expert, so anything is still possible.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So, yeah, I didn't understand based on the screenshots. I know that they showed that you can do spells to like attack like werewolves and crap, and you have to save Harry from being attacked by...
This game I played on iOS. It's probably on Android, too. I think it was called Magicka or something. I don't know if that was the name. But I remember it was a game where you would, like, trace... And it was also kind of like a real-world-based game, and you would draw spells to cast them in battle and stuff. And it seems like that is being...
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, hey, it's free. Try it out.
Yeah. Let's see. Sia Tiberi in chat says, clearly developed by a Hufflepuff, diplomatic, looking for things, not about flashy showing off. Interesting. So, well, we'll see. Of course, I'm going to try the game when it comes out. I have played really great AR real world games, and I have played trash AR real world games. I played Garfield Go for like a minute. Okay.
I played Garfield Go for a couple minutes as well.
I played that Dacronius Go that was like the rip-off.
You know,
actually, the Dacronius thing brought some different ideas to the table, though. I that game wasn't trash. It just was kind of clunky.
You know what my sister plays a lot, actually, is that Jurassic Park game.
Oh, yeah. I played,
she's, that like, was, really into that.
That wasn't bad. I didn't dislike it. It was just a little... I don't know. I don't like it when the stuff is randomly generated. I think part of what's always drawn me to my Niantic's games is that they are based on real-world things I would have never known were there if I hadn't bothered to look. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in the early days when I first started playing Ingress, I was like, I never had any idea that these things were in my neighborhood. And I think that's exactly what Niantic was trying to do with that game, is get you out into your neighborhood and know that these things were there. Now, granted, it's all user-based. So, for example, they call the thing down the street. I want to say what they call it, but you know what they call that in the game?
Yeah.
And I don't think it is what they call
it.
No,
it's not.
It is certainly not. So, I don't think everything is necessarily educational. So
It's yeah, taking liberties with... I'm surprised that the other thing that's at the other park is not something, because, I mean, that's more significant than a box in the ground.
It has been tried to be submitted multiple times because I keep seeing it. And are you talking about a thing that looks like a... And I'm sorry, we're having to be cryptic, but I have a right to my privacy.
I don't even know what the hell it is.
Does it look like an electrical thing?
Yes.
Okay, that has tried to be submitted at least three times because I keep seeing it in the freaking OPR.
Oh.
And I can tell you without question who's doing it and why they want it, but it's... Look, the playground's fine. Gazebos are fine. That ain't fine. That's like there's hazardous. Don't go here. All around it, like that can't be a point of interest. So, anyway, Bobby Blackwolf points out what's happening now around here is I'm seeing Pokestops for things that no longer exist.
Yeah,
that happens too. Yeah, I mean the game's been out a while.
There is one.
You can report them invalid in Ingress. I don't know if you can do that natively in Pokemon Go, though.
No, because I had to do that with... There was some murals and stuff that were near my house that there's no mural there anymore. I was like, kind of wondering, is like that inside? But then you look at the photo and it's outside and it's clearly not there anymore.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to move on. I do want to go to the next story we have here, which is about the Valve Store and the Steam Store and a potential kind of privacy sort of issue that may have happened with the Epic Store. Here's the deal. Valve is out there implying that Epic's launcher has copied user data from Steam, and now they're going to launch an investigation, whatever that means. Apparently what happened is that Epic, because Epic did confirm this, was taking their launcher and it made an encrypted local copy of your local config.vdf Steam file, because what it was doing is that when you would say, yes, I want to import my Steam friends,
yes, I've seen
into
that.
The Epic Store game, it's using that file to do it. But Epic is saying, and in a quote, they said, information from this file is only sent to Epic if you choose to import your Steam friends, and then only hashed IDs of your friends are sent and no other information from the file. And that's only accessing that information after you choose to import Steam friends. But of course, Valve, not happy about it, in a statement to
Bleeping Computer. It's been there forever, though. I mean, like... It's been like that for months.
Just now noticed. In a statement to Bleeping Computer, Valve said, we are looking into what information the Epic Launcher collects from Steam. The Steam client locally saves data such as the list of games you own, your friends list, and saved login tokens, similar to information stored in web browser cookies, which makes sense. If you have 500 games in your library, you don't want Steam loading that every time.
But isn't that the same as like if I... You know, if I downloaded the Firefox web browser and it wants to import my data and cookies and stuff like that, I mean, that's basically
sure. Yeah, it's basically the same thing. You're right.
And why are we throwing a fit about this? I think they're just whatever.
They're
you know,
you think they're making an issue just to make
I think they're making an issue just to make an issue.
Mm. And maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Kaijudo in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, though, says Epic fail. I don't know. Again, I don't know if this is any different from what other places are doing, but maybe they weren't super transparent in what they were doing. But it would make sense that if you want this launcher, this store, to access your Steam's friends list, then you are giving it some sort of permission to access Steam, right? I mean, that would be implied, right? It just doesn't just magically know. And I did do the import because whatever. I did it in GOG too, because GOG used to have that thing. I think they sunsetted it. But they used to have that thing where, like, if you owned a game on Steam, you could, like, get a copy of it on GOG. But it was limited to certain games only. But still, there were a few that came over. So, like, I let my GOG access my Steam. Mm-hmm. Where was the stink about that? I don't remember that.
It's because it's convenient now, because everyone's, you know, upset about privacy and, you know, people breaching privacy agreements and stuff like that. And so, hey, look, they're bad.
Bobby wants to point out the difference. Bobby sometimes understands the tech stuff better than I do, that's for sure. So he explains what the difference is. Epic is preemptively getting this data and then asking if you want to import it. Firefox doesn't go after the data until you tell it to. That's the problem, is that Epic is preemptively grabbing that file, going, I'm just going to put this right back over here for when this user says they want to import their Steam friends, because who wouldn't want to do that?
Fine. I mean, I guess they could just easily not do that. I mean, that seems like a very easy fix.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I don't even know what the time save would be.
Are they even saying that Epic has already fixed it? I'm trying to see if in this story they mentioned that Epic already fixed it, but this might have been too... No, I haven't seen any, because this story was just from yesterday on the 16th, so I haven't seen anything yet. But I imagine that's something that Epic's probably going to do would be the easy fix, would be to just stop grabbing that file until you say, yes, import my Steam friends. So, anyway, let's move on. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
This one actually is going to be a little bit of cultural explanation is needed behind it, but... there's a game that was coming out. It's part of the Yakuza series in Japan that's called Yakuza / Ryuga Gotoku. But the game is called Judge Eyes. And actually, it was going to be coming out in the U.S. under the name Judgment. It was developed by Sega. Well, they took it down off of their website because the actor who plays the crime boss in the game, the real-life actor, Pierre Taki, was caught for possession and use of cocaine. And for a scandal like that, drug use scandals are pretty much, they're almost career ending. It's what happens is that instead of here where it like could drive sales of something, you know, or people want to know more about it and the person's out in the limelight and getting, you know, Lindsay Lohan style fame, there, people are pretty much erased from the public eye.
Yeah, I know. I was like, over here, it's like, what? Lindsay Lohan's doing cocaine? What a shock. You know, it's very...
I'd be more surprised if she wasn't doing cocaine.
Right? I'd be more surprised if she wasn't.
Well, in Japan, you sort of are publicly erased. So in that case, the game Judge Eyes has been pulled off of Sega's site. All their marketing, social media has been completely removed. They've halted sales of the game digitally. They've pulled back their shipping orders for the game. They are taking a big hit to take this off the market. And then, of course, whether or not it's going to have U.S. release still, you know, remains to be seen. I mean, it did have, for the main character, it was actually handled... acted by and voiced by Kimura Takuya, who's a member of SMAP. So, I mean, we're talking big names. And if anyone, you know, might not know Pierre Taki from his own acting, he's also part of a synth-pop duo called Denki Groove, which I know that some people listen to some of the Japanese synth-pop. So, I mean, the game looked to be pretty interesting. I had even heard about it, you know, before all this went down. But I'm really not surprised that for how it's going down in Japan that this is happening this way. You know, other situations like this is that there's been other actors. There was, I'm trying to see who else. Taki was also the voice of Olaf.
Yeah, and I was about to say, because Sia Tiberian chat says, didn't something similar happen to one of the voice actors for Kingdom Hearts 3? Yes, it's actually the same story.
It's the same guy.
But it's only going to affect the Japanese release of the game, because the voice acting is not – the Japanese voice acting is not in the U.S. release.
But it's another thing, too, is that anyone who does work for a company is seen almost directly as a representative of the company. And so they distance themselves from it, which basically is where that public erasure comes from, is to protect the reputation of the company.
Oh, it's very much a culture thing. I mean, not in Japan, but in some other countries, you can get put to death. Like, just drug smuggling is like a death penalty charge. Didn't y'all watch Broke Down Palace with Claire Danes?
If an American were to go to Japan and have pot on them, they would be deported immediately. And also usually banned from returning to the country.
Wow. Which, you know, again, like the marijuana perspective is changing significantly in this country, especially where we live. We're in California. There's a pot store not that far from here. But, and I drive by every day on my way home from work.
But there was a delay in the release of some Studio Ghibli stuff because the musician Asuka, who did some vocals for a music video, was arrested for drug possession. And another anime, Kill Me Baby, were pulled from public circulation because the voice actress Takabe Ai had cocaine.
Speaking of the international thing, though, I know we're joking about Lindsay Lohan, and I have no idea what her drug status is. Doesn't whatever, but does it seem to only affect people and celebrities from that country? Because isn't there still a lot of like American pop culture stuff that makes its way into Japan? And do they still hold the American celebrities to that same standard? Because I don't think they do.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know.
That's kind of messed up.
Either that or it's just only... I don't think it matters so much if it's a reflection on an American arm of the company. Because I guess they expect that shit from us anyway. I don't know.
Stupid Americans and their cocaine.
But, I mean, in the long run, it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a completely different.
It's a cultural difference, and we have to be respectful of that. But at the same time, you know, we are a video game show. It's interesting to talk about how this, wow, I mean, because of this culture thing, this game that was supposed to come out is being delayed, not to make
the
game better.
Big marketing, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the site for this, just looking at how it was built, good Lord, there was some work that went into that. And we're talking about Instagram, Line.
Yeah.
You know, some of the big marketing outlets. And honestly enough, there is a part of me that wishes we had that same sort of idea here. Because then there wouldn't be such a big, I'm going to do this terrible thing because it's going to bring attention to me.
How far down the rabbit hole do I want to go? Okay. But here's why they don't. Because we also have a problem in this country about it being equal based on what you look like, if you know what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Anyway, I gotta watch how far down the rabbit hole you go. But I think that is an issue that we have to deal with here. That, you know, is why we don't do that. For the best we don't do that.
I think that, you know, public and business ostracization for people who are like that until there's been a period of recovery is a good idea. So that they aren't having this big public spectacle meltdown and setting an example for other people.
Well, isn't it also sort of the American way that we protest? I mean, that's kind of what happens.
That's different. Mm. I think that's entirely different. They've been having a protest recently in Japan for LGBT rights, for right to marry. So I'm
cool.
Just saying, protesting happens there too.
Burn some bras.
For equal
I don't
marriage.
Know.
But I'm saying is that this is a different thing than a protest. This is keeping a company reputation clean and distancing themselves from something like that instead of using it as a marketing tool.
Some other comments in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Bobby Blackwolf pointing out you have to get special waivers to take prescription Adderall in Japan. So even things, you know.
Can't buy ibuprofen over the counter.
Oh, really?
Yep.
But, you know, but I mean.
But you can get toothpaste that rebuilds the enamel on your teeth, and they don't sell it here.
But here, you can't get Tylenol 3, whereas you can go into Canada, and you can. At least you used to. I don't know if that's still the case.
Dear Canadian friends.
Anyway. Bobby,
here also in Valve, you can't get Tylenol 3 either.
Fuck off. Anyway, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, they accept that pot is something that Westerners do. They do not accept that pot is something that Japanese do. Interesting way of putting it, and that's probably a very succinct way of saying it. SSJ100 Matt says, I think Russell Brand got deported from Japan for something like this. Whatever happened to that guy?
I know someone firsthand who I used to work with that got deported, and he's half Japanese.
Wow.
I think his was like a limitation that after like 6 years he could return for family visits.
But still, that's
he got deported for pot.
Wow. All right. But yeah, taking drugs into other countries is just generally not a good idea unless you have a prescription and, you know, you have all those forms that was brought up previously, which is probably best you don't bring drugs.
Besides, if you're high on drugs, then all those genitals become unblurred and they can't have that.
What? For porn.
Jesus Christ.
Remember Final Fuck X?
I'm like, there's a joke you tried to tell that I'm not getting. All right, anyway. Please, can we move on? Next story.
Let's move on.
Let's talk about that number 3 in Valve, shall we?
Well, Valve is not going to be putting out a sequel for Left 4 Dead anytime soon. But that doesn't mean that you can't live without Left 4 Dead, because it's going to be back. Left 4 Dead is coming back as Back 4 Blood. It is a spiritual successor to Left 4 Dead that is going to be coming out by Turtle Rock and Warner Brothers. And it is basically, very similar to Left 4 Dead. They don't really have many details about it yet, not even any pictures, but I'm sure it'll be something that we'll be hearing about very soon, maybe E3 or GDC. So I'm looking forward to that because Left 4 Dead was a pretty awesome game. Too bad we never got a third one.
But here you go.
Well, now we get something that's similar.
Isn't that interesting when that happens? When the team, like the publisher doesn't want to make the next game. So the team is just like, all right, we'll just go make our own studio and make the game we want to make. Interesting. Yes. It'll be interesting. It's been a few years since Left 4 Dead 2, though. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of, you know, changes they put in the game. You know, maybe
new engine.
New engine, certainly. Maybe some more social elements. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, especially because Left 4 Dead was kind of one of those first, like, horde mode type of games that ever existed.
Yeah,
and now there's been a ton of
like
hordes.
A purely co-op, you know, type of game. You know,
and now we've had Gears of War, Mass Effect multiplayer. Like horde mode was kind of like what we had for a while instead of battle royale, right? So it'll be really interesting to see what they now have learned in these years that genre was really in the spotlight. So.
Let's hope they don't try to shoehorn Battle Royale in there.
She-Hulk in chat says, yes, big fun, Left 4 Dead 3. Yeah, no, people are people really... I know Alan was a big fan of Left 4 Dead games, too. A little scary for me, but I might try it again. My taste in gaming have evolved a
little
bit.
You need to mod the crap out of it, and you can make it even worse.
How so? Like, make it scarier?
Oh, yeah, you can make it scarier, or make it cute.
I was going to say, rainbows and puppies and kittens.
Yeah, I saw some pretty weird stuff.
Okay, that would be all right. If a kitten jumps up and surprises me, I'm okay with that.
But it's a mean kitten.
No, I don't like mean kittens.
It's Goose.
No.
Did you see it, by the way?
See what?
Captain Marvel.
No.
Then I'm not going to spoil.
I never get to the movies.
No,
so.
I'm going to take you to see it.
All right, cool.
One day this week, we're going to go.
All right.
You are going to enjoy.
Free movie. Awesome.
It is the best.
Okay.
Did you see it?
Do I have to see the other Marvel movies to understand?
No.
Okay, good, because I was like, the last Marvel movie I saw was the first Avengers.
Maybe for one of the after credits things, but I can explain that because I hadn't even seen Age of...
Well, don't, because we have a lot of viewers who probably haven't seen it yet either.
But I haven't seen the Thanos movie, although everyone spoiled it for me, so...
Okay, well, yeah, I think that one's been all over the
internet. I've not watched it yet, but, I mean, I haven't watched Black Panther yet either, but...
Captain Marvel is the best.
I do want to see Black Panther.
Best is...
No, it is the best.
No.
You haven't seen it, so you can't say anything about it.
Okay, fine. I'll watch it, and then we'll see that it's not the best.
It is the best. It speaks to women's experiences every fucking day, and every man should be required to watch it.
Okay, sure.
I don't watch a lot of superhero movies at all, but I do want to see what is coming out that I do want to see is that Us. That looks scary as hell.
That looks good.
That I want to see, that's for sure. All right. Let's see. Going in chat. Let's see. Tiger Claw says, if you're a cat lover, you must see Captain Marvel. Well, my retort would be, if you're a cat lover, you must see Carly Rae Jepsen's new music video. Because that was also a cat thing, and it's incredible. And so you should see it. Okay. Let's see. Let's move on and talk about the Overwatch League. And this was kind of one of those things where I said I jabbed the Overwatch League a little bit. Well, I shouldn't say jab. I said it was room for improvement when I was first talking about the Overwatch League. It's nice to see them taking this step into this next story. That the fact that Overwatch League has been successful enough to do this, I think, is pretty cool as well, and says a lot about where esports might be going. But next year, they are saying, according to Commissioner Nate Nasner, Overwatch League teams will be playing in their cities next year. So right now, if you weren't already aware, there's the Blizzard Arena in Los Angeles, that's where all the matches are being played. But for next year, if you are the San Francisco Shock, which would be the closest team to us, there's going to be a place in San Francisco where you go to see them play because...
don't they have, like, their own esports arena? I mean, that's... I
know at least Oakland does. I'm sure San Francisco does somewhere. I'm just not up and up on where all the places are.
I thought that's who it was that had their arena, because I know that they were doing the DDR tournament from there, and...
That was in Oakland.
Was that Oakland? Okay.
Yeah, which, I mean... You know, the San Francisco 49ers play in Santa Clara, which is like 45 minutes away on a good day. So it doesn't always have to match exactly. I don't know where they're playing this stuff. We'll find out.
Yeah.
But what's going to be interesting about this is that you have teams in China. You have teams in Europe, all over the U.S. and Canada. So it's going to be like these time zones. I'm like, dang, this might be a little rough on some of the players because these time zones are all going to be all over the map, right? So it'll be interesting to see what the schedule looks like to make this happen. But I think this is a good next step for esports. I think it is important. I think if you want to grow esports, to have the availability for people to go watch and see the game in person and really see what it's all about. I think that is going to be a great step. So, you know, maybe I'll go to San Francisco and see one of these someday and see what it's all about. I still have some reservations on what the team rosters look like and so forth, but we'll see. Maybe that will improve in 2020 as well. So this has always been something that they are going for. I'm looking for the original tweet here. Here it is, from Nate Nasner, who says, "The Overwatch League is coming home and away. Starting in 2020, all Overwatch League teams will be playing in their home cities. We're super excited to see our original vision brought to life. Thanks to all our fans for your amazing support." So, and the roster could grow as well, has been pointed out, is that we know the cities that exist today. Who's to say there won't be even more? Where there's 20 teams today. There might be even more by this time next year. So we'll see. Bobby in chat is saying, "I wonder if it's like the current structure where there will be a weekend where a bunch of teams are in a home team city to play each other. That's what they're doing in Atlanta in June for the Atlanta Reign, instead of doing home and away matches." Unsure. I don't know if it's going to be one for one or what they'll do with that. It'll be interesting to see, though. So let's see. And yeah, as J100 Matt, as far as like the team thing goes, points out the New York Giants and Jets play in New Jersey. And that's how it works sometimes. Yep. So anyhow. We'll see what develops with the Overwatch League. I think they're on, not that I want you guys to leave, but I think they're on right now. And, you know, I think they do a lot of stuff throughout the week. There's a lot of programming there. So it's going to be interesting to see if that gets like bigger and bigger and where that ends up going. So, all right, let's move on. Dark Soccer, you have a kind of neat rumor for us, right?
Well, there's been some interesting revelations regarding what could be the PlayStation 5. More rumors, but it's based off of a patent that Sony filed in October last year.
And also, I think quickly, it's worth mentioning this rumor. You're reading this in like what, Esquire or something? Like, it's a big magazine. So like, this isn't just like some dude said on Twitter. This is like magazines are picking this up and running with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, they think that the PlayStation 5 is going to include deep learning technology, basically using the player's skills and habits to adapt the games. The patent reads like this. With a quote, "Generally, a video game and video game assistants are adapted to a player. For example, a narrative of the video game is personalized to an experience level of the player. Similarly, assistance in interacting with a particular content of the video game is also personalized. The personalization learns from historical interactions of players with the video game and, optionally, other video games. In an example, a deep learning neural network is implemented to generate knowledge from the historical interactions. The personalization is then set according to the knowledge." So basically, it's like Psycho Mantis on steroids.
Is this real? I mean, it sounds fancy and high tech, but I have to ask the hard question. Is it really, though? I mean, don't get me wrong. This sounds neat. You know, I love the idea of a game, especially like for kids that are playing it, that like gets easier if they keep dying in the same spot or whatever. Or maybe if you're really good at it, it gets harder. But then I can't help but think like, you know, like, let's say, like, an elliptical machine can increase or decrease the workout based on how you're performing and where your heart's rate is at. So, I mean, and that's just a little machine. Like, it's not a PlayStation 5. So I'm just saying, like, it sounds like, oh, it's this, like, big technology. But it's, like, it more sounds like it's a way of thinking, a system, a core thing to maybe put in that all games would consider.
It doesn't seem like that's something that a system should be doing. That's something that a game developer should be putting in if they want to implement that.
Or maybe the game contains the algorithm, but the machine has the hardware for it.
And maybe it's something like Six Axis, not to put a negative spin on it, but developers can choose if they just want to put it in or not, very easy, right? Or let's say that Steam gives you easy access to put in mods and achievements and things like that. Like, it's your choice if you want to, how much you want to run with that type of thing. I could see that. But if it is Sony's thing, you can bet your ass that things like Last of Us 3, Uncharted, whatever they do, all these games I'm making up, but you know, are Sony's powerhouses, would likely implement this, and that, you know, because they're Sony's games, so of course it's going to show off Sony's tech.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think, Barksaka? Would you be more interested in PlayStation 5 with something like
just
this?
I said that I think it's going to be implemented through the games, with the hardware being on the system. And I honestly think it would be great. I mean, but I'd also like the opportunity to be able to turn it off and have it not transmit data.
Okay.
I don't want it to learn and then send my habits to Sony.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Interesting. But that could be something they're thinking about, is the portability, so that, like, if I play at a friend's house, but then you're right, you'd have to send to Sony, and maybe that's...
I don't mind analytics for, like, anonymous analytics. You know, in the case of your computer with anonymous analytics, they use that to determine how to... you know, really software updates, how to make the things better, when to do full security updates if a lot of people are reporting the same issue. You know, that's fine. You know, crash reports, whatever. But I don't want personalized data. I don't mind if it's anonymous. Like, my 23andMe stuff is pretty much anonymous. I don't care. But if it has my name on it, which I opted out of anything that put my name on it, I would have a problem with it. Same goes with this. I don't want my habits directly related to me to go out to whatever they can store.
Let me ask this very real question, because this is actually how I conduct myself on PlayStation. What if you could put your fake name on it?
I still wouldn't want that, because my fake name now is so traceable.
It's still individualized in a way.
Yeah, it would still be, because I mean, at the very least, they would have whatever billing information that you put in through it, because your real name is on your billing information. It's still linked over. If you're paying for, like, PlayStation Network.
You're right. I think Sony probably has that for me, but you do, ever since their little hack and that whole thing, I believe you do not have to store a credit card on PlayStation servers.
But if you've ever had one stored, your name is still there on the account.
Yeah, true.
Historically, the information is there. You know, I'm what, either Dark Sakura or Kuro Tsubasa, like, every fucking where. People usually know that if they see the name, there's a big chance it's me. So, just saying.
Let's see. And yeah, if you see Rob Roberts, you know it's me or the gun guy. Apparently, if you Google Rob Roberts, you get a guy that sells guns. How about that? All right. Let's see. Dungeon Buster.
I get a porn star for Jamie Summers.
Do you really? That's...
And then some lady in Columbus.
But you were it was supposed to be the Bionic Woman. Where's the Bionic Woman?
Because I spell my name differently.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Anyway, Dungeon Buster or Quest Buster in our chat at Twitch TV says, Zanac, a throwback here. Zanac adapted its difficulty depending on how the player did during the NES days. The game would sometimes change in small ways, change up patterns, etc.
That's true, but that's not really learning. Because it wouldn't retain that information, and it wouldn't alter it. It wouldn't remember that was your difficulty level.
Okay, that's maybe the little click for me that I needed to understand how this is, like, new and fancy.
It's just programming. In this case, this would be machine learning. It would learn your habits and adapt whatever game has the capacity to use that to your habits as a gamer.
Okay, so, like...
They say, this bitch is a rage quitter. We're only going to let her play up to level 4.
Interesting. So how you perform in Uncharted may dictate the difficulty level where Last of Us starts. Is
possibly
what this could be.
That's how I translated it to.
Okay.
Or
okay.
Now,
I get it.
Going further, if it looks at your habits on the network, are you a rage quitter? Are you someone who gets a lot of abuse complaints? You could start into whatever game you might be streaming with all of these marks against you. It could really go a lot further than that.
Interesting.
And of course, there's sad little man babies out there who'll try to be pissy to female gamers. And, you know, like what happened with movie ratings and everything. There's people who've done it to me, and the things were completely unfounded. They were just crying little man babies. So I drink male tears. I moisturize with them.
Anyway.
Keep crying, babies.
I was trying to see if there's other comments in chat. She-Hulk in our chat says, since the big PlayStation 3 data loss 10 years ago, I still get notices from possible theft from Sony. And, you know, that whole data theft, it is going to have to be something that's in the back of Sony's minds about, you know, again, assuming this is true, but, you know, a lot of magazines and things seem to be running with it, is that Sony will have to be mindful about how it uses that data, because it knows it's already been in trouble for a breach of data once before. So, I mean, but I guess maybe the question would be is how good you are or aren't at a video game sensitive data. But I guess it really depends on what is it that the PlayStation is actually collecting. Anyway, SSJ100 Matt suggests self-destruct the consoles of chronic toxic players. Hey, I always like the idea of them getting their own little island. Have fun at Toxic Fantasy Island. That's exactly what it is. Toxic Fantasy Island.
And then we nuke it from orbit.
Complete with tattoo.
We just nuke it from orbit.
Right.
No, then we airdrop a bunch of therapists.
That could be the intro to one of our future shows. Toxic Fantasy Island will not be seen tonight.
Just airdrop a bunch of therapists. That's all.
Anyway, let's move on. Something else to talk about. Loki.
I don't know. The whole Toxic Fantasy Island sounds awesome. So this is also something that's pretty awesome and surprising that's coming to Steam. But Halo, the Master Chief Collection, is coming to PC. And it's also coming to not only the Windows Store or Microsoft Store or whatever we're calling it nowadays, but the Steam Store as well. And on top of all of that, they're going to be including Halo Reach now. So it is going to be, it'll run at 60 FPS, it'll support up to 4K, and they're going to be adding, on Xbox One, the Halo Reach multiplayer will be available as a free add-on for anyone that owns the collection, and they said the single-player campaign will cost extra. They don't have a date on the Halo Reach stuff, but they're going to be putting out, I guess, stuff piecemeal, so it's going to be at the launch of saying Halo Combat Evolved, Anniversary, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo 4. And then I guess, I don't know, Halo 5 will be added later.
So I think when I bought my Xbox One, I got a digital copy of this. Because I don't think I have the disc. I think it's a digital copy.
Probably.
So does that mean I'll get it on PC for free because it's digital?
Maybe.
Cool.
It might be Play Anywhere. I don't know if it's a Play Anywhere game.
I want to check that out if it is. I thought everything was supposed to be Play Anywhere now.
Probably most of their games are Play Anywhere, so. Yeah.
Well, I hope. Kaijudo in chat says, all they need is Halo Reach 3-2. Those games were so much fun. So, yeah, a lot of fans of Reach out there, so I'm sure very happy to hear that this
is coming.
I never
played Reach, so.
I have an answer for all that.
What's that?
I have an answer for that.
What's that?
No.
Well, you were never a Halo fan anyway. That's a long-running joke.
The only thing
on the show
I liked about Halo
was Red versus Blue.
Well, okay, Red versus Blue, but, I mean, and the shiny stabby weapon. I like the
shiny. Oh, yeah, I do like the shiny stabby weapon. That is fun. Halo 2 is like a throwback to college for me. I used to like to play that online with some of my college buddies, and we would use the shiny stabby thing quite a bit.
My fond memory was Dan's bachelor party. Because you were at my bachelorette party.
I was.
We had to go to the house to get my stuff.
Yes.
And they had something like 5 TVs hooked up doing Halo LAN.
Okay. This question, before we get to our next story, this question keeps coming up in chat, and so I have to address it. And they're noticing on the camera there, SG100 Matt says, wait, is Jamie having Dunkin' Donuts and drinking Starbucks?
Yes, I am.
OLR bringing rivals together.
Okay.
Hey, where every foodie has a voice.
I haven't started my Dunkin' yet because I have a little banana for a stomach. Thank you, surgery. I had to finish my corned beef. I told myself I was going to eat so much dead bovine until I got sick. Guess who's sick right now? That would be me. But I'm not, like, super sick. I stopped right before, like, throwing up sick. So I am stuffed.
So the donuts are being saved, right?
Donuts are being saved. Okay. They're going to be breakfast.
And that was a Loki contribution.
Thank you, which I greatly appreciate.
Yes. Yeah, I live by Dunkin' Donuts.
The Boston cream, is going to be my I'm about to go to bed snack, but I need a sugar rush, which isn't a good idea before you go to bed. And then my double chocolate is going to be breakfast tomorrow.
All right.
Where I will, again, get the shakes from reactive hypoglycemia.
Loki was kind to offer for me, too, but since I am trying to be better about fitness, I decided to pass on the donuts. And while I still do drink the coffee, I had just had a Starbucks, so I didn't want to have lots of coffee.
Well, by the way, though, speaking of fitness, I am thinking about going back to NerdFit, where they use their leveling up system.
I'm trying to remember what that was. That name sounds familiar. Okay, yeah, yeah.
It was people to eat keto and all this, but their exercise program used like levels, and then they would do like this like special challenge thing for like certain exercises, and you turn it in and you get a badge and some shit. But I'm thinking about going back to like a leveling system for working out, because I am officially not the first week in April. I've got the okay to go back to powerlifting, and I'm going to fill my arm wings, my extra skin that I have left over, with meat, not just, you know, dead bovine.
I've been using the watch tracking for fitness quite a bit. That's been doing really good for me, which reminds me, I was going to send a private information request to you, Jamie, but I guess you don't have yours. Oh, no, yours is right there. There it is.
I don't share because I'm not competitive.
All right, that's fine. Then
some
don't.
People have been sharing theirs with me. I've been interested in seeing what some other people are doing, but I'd rather just talk to people and find out what they're doing. And because I like to think I'm fairly adaptive with my fitness regimen.
I just found out that it will beat people when you close your rings. I didn't realize that was a thing. But like, so I was at the gym yesterday, and as soon as I get off the machine, I have multiple text messages from people I'm sharing data with that are saying like, congrats or whatever. And I'm just like, wait, did my watch like tell you that I'm so I thought that was. It was weird, but I was like, well, that's kind of nice, I guess. Those little bits of motivation can always be cute. So
I just really only track myself, because the only person I can be accountable to is myself.
Yeah.
Being competitive doesn't really do anything for me.
I'm not competitive with it. It's more like I want to – these are good goals. You know, like the standing thing I was doing earlier. They're good goals to have.
I do it for myself. I don't need to share that data with other people to feel good about what I'm doing or maintain my goals. I'm not – there's some people out there who are truly, I would say, what's the word, motivated by competition.
Mm-hmm.
That's not me.
That's
why most of the time if I'm playing a game, I prefer a single-person narrative. I prefer, and so what I'm going to be doing is that as I level up, I'm going to be using like a game or something and do say, this is my level up game. But I will be sharing my level ups with everybody in the form of content.
All right. Well, speaking of leveling up, moving on to a next story before we get to our classic segment. The Xbox Live by Microsoft is coming out for iOS and Android. So maybe this is another way if you want to be competitive with achievements. This is something you could do. Or maybe you don't want to be competitive. You want to just be able to send messages to friends on their
social media. I'm telling you, though, this like combined with the Google thing that they're talking about before streaming, like if I could like purchase Game Pass, you know, on an Android device and be able to like play those like Xbox games on my TV or on my PC, that would be useful to me because I don't want to buy another console.
Well, what this news is about is that Microsoft is going to allow developers of mobile games to use Xbox Live features. It's a new mobile SDK that is part of Microsoft's initiative to allow game developers, you know, of all sizes, indie, small, large, to use Xbox Live on whatever platform you want to create on. Which we already kind of knew, Xbox Live is making strides in going into Switch games, which was a big deal when we first talked about that. The only place you're probably not going to see Xbox Live is on Sony, which, you know, you understand why that is the way it is. But anyway, you can choose a la carte from features like achievements, clubs, gamer score, friends list, family settings. That's interesting, too, talking about adapting to automatic settings. That's very interesting that let's say you know this is a kid account right off the gate, so maybe it shouldn't show dramatic blood effects or whatever. I don't know. It goes with a particular game. Or because it's Loki, you should show extra dramatic blood effects on the game.
It's not dramatic if it's not extra.
So anyway, Very cool. This is coming, and I'm sure we're going to hear more about this at Game Developers Conference, but it was confirmed that this is happening. By the way, in kind of a related story of sorts, it should be mentioned about this too. There is a brand new app that came out for Windows called Wireless Display, and it will let you play PC games on your Xbox with varied success. It seems like it's something that's still early on. Now, as it is today, you can play Xbox stuff on your PC. There's a little Xbox app for Windows 10. And I've actually done that, and it works well enough. As long as there's not a lot of other network traffic going on. Like, I don't do it if Alan's trying to play Overwatch. Because it's
technically, I guess you could
game.
Still do that if you had your output, HDMI output, from your PC into your Xbox. Because remember, they have that pass-through.
Sure, you could. But this is a way to do it through the network, through your house, basically. But they're saying not every game really works very well with this. Some folks have done some testing and said some games work, some games don't. I imagine it's going to be interesting the more and more this technology gets refined, although at the same time, I don't usually want to play something like World of Warcraft on my television. I want to play it on my PC. But I guess, again, for people that are playing things like, I don't know, the new Devil's May Cry game, let's say you're buying that on PC, then being able to have that on your TV is interesting. But again, it's apparently working with some mixed success right now. Seems like it's a technology that will probably get refined in the coming weeks as more and more people complain about things and so forth. So anyhow, some comments on Microsoft. She-Hulk over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, Xbox Live community is robust, much more social than Sony or Nintendo. Well, that's, you know, I think we've joked here on OLR that maybe Microsoft should just build Nintendo's online forum because they could use
a little
help.
Well, Nintendo used to have a pretty robust online forum, and then they got rid of it.
They did?
Well, wasn't, you know, the whole, what do they call that? The thing that they discontinued where you could do all the, like, cool pictures and everything.
Oh, Swapnote?
No, not Swapnote. They had Miiverse or...
Oh, Miiverse. Okay, I get what you're saying. Miiverse was an interesting idea, but it really ran clunky. It was kind of like I'll say Miiverse was best when it was integrated directly into the games, like Mario Maker.
Yeah.
That was a good use. I will give you that. That was a really good use of Miiverse. Splatoon kind of had that as well. In fact, what they did is they just kind of like took that part and put it in the new Splatoon that's on Switch. So, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I guess you could say the legacy of Miiverse lives on in that regard. I don't know. But anyway, other games continue to live on here at Orange Lounge Radio as we move into a segment we like to call the Classic Game of the Week. Or, as the case may be, in 2019, once a month, Dark Sakura dips into the gaming vault and says, hey, here's a soundtrack that you should be paying attention to. The game may or may not be great, but the soundtrack is definitely something worth noticing. So what is our special classic soundtrack of the month?
This is going to be a game I will eventually review.
Uh-huh.
But it's Abadox the Deadly Inner War. And this particular game... Okay, there we go. This particular game came out... This music doesn't go for this level.
I know. What I did is I took the bass music and I just put it over gameplay so they have something to look at.
Alrighty. Well, anyway, but it's otherwise actually the first level has like my favorite music.
Otherwise,
in the game.
It's all ground beef.
Yeah, it'll cycle through the different songs in the game.
Yeah, well, this is just the intro. But yeah, the first level is actually my favorite music in the entire game too, because the game's hard and I died a lot. So, but anyway, it's pretty. You know, it's not like one of the best games ever. It was by Natsume, with the main programmer having worked on Contra. Actually, the music programmer having worked on Contra, but it was Sada Kyohei who he did a lot of work for Konami. It really was very influenced by Contra and some of the other shooting games.
And this is the song you were mentioning earlier, I believe. Yeah.
This was like my favorite piece of music in this whole game.
And it sounds like a fucking Contra song.
It does. It's like, I was showing this to Dan, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's definitely a Natsume game. I was like, yeah, but listen to the music. He's like, that sounds like Contra-ish. I'm like, yarp. You know, that heavy rhythm in it that you had from a lot of the Konami games. But at any rate, I mean, my second favorite piece of music in this game is the ending music, which I never got to. But people in my papa was really good at this game, and he beat the game. you know, it was this and, you know, Jackal that he and I used to play a lot together before he died. And so this, I just had to pick this music. I don't really have too much else about the programming of the music, but I thought the soundtrack was worth a mention. Because for such a, you know, middle-of-the-road game, the music in it was really good.
Yeah, and this is this has been kind of the neat thing about this little feature that you're doing, that, like, even though the first month you did Guardian Legend, which, like, of course, is, like, a must, right? You really kind of have been picking games that are, like, okay, maybe, like, the games were eh, but the soundtracks, like, are A+. And I think that's always kind of neat when a sound, like, you want to play a game because you just want to hear the damn music. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, also, I was just giving it a look for Famicom information. The box art in Japan was so much better than the...
Wasn't that
crap
always the
we
case,
got
though.
Here?
She-Hulk and Chow wants to know, is the soundtrack on vinyl?
I don't think so. This game really wasn't, like, a super popular one.
No.
But
it was unique in the U.S. because it was a Milton Bradley published game. Which
exactly.
Which kind of goes with the... which you associate more with board games.
Exactly. Yeah. But Milton Bradley did a decent number of releases for games.
They did. But none of them were, like... Like
best.
A+, like,
yeah.
Games you remember.
But, I mean...
Wasn't Milton Bradley the Game Genie? Or not Game Genie.
That was Gloob.
Damn it. The Power Glove. Didn't they do...
I do not recall. I don't remember who did Power Glove.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm looking it up right now. So, they did the Power... They were partly responsible for the Power Pad?
Oh, the Power Pad.
Yeah.
Huh.
So this Milton. Might
be a Life Force.
All right, the games that were done by Milton Bradley, that were published or distributed or whatever: Cabal, California Games, Captain Skyhawk, Jordan vs. Bird, Marble Madness, Time Lord, which isn't sadly a Doctor Who game. World Games. Yeah, not very many games, but they were. And by the way, Rob, World Games is by Epix.
I do. Yeah, that I do know. Trust.
Founder of the Epix Game Store.
Oh, shut the fuck up, God.
But at any
that happened on Bobby's show anyway. With the OLR.
We're
podcast.
Bringing it around.
Well,
I'm not
keep in
understand
mind,
that
Milton
joke.
Bradley actually had a console in 1979. They had the Microvision.
Oh, really?
Yerp. Hold on. Let's see something real quick. While we're here,
this has turned into the Milton Bradley segment of the month.
Well, I mean, it doesn't hurt to educate people.
Sure.
So, oh, stupid accepting cookies. I would rather have a real cookie. Thank you. So, yeah, not much is coming up. But, yeah, you know, they did different stuff. I mean, like I said, they had been in the video game business off and on and had, you know, peripherals and things like that. But, yeah. So, there you go.
All right. Your classic soundtrack of the month. How do you say Abbott?
Abadox.
Abadox.
Okay, you might remember the commercial. It's the kid playing on his bed, and then, like, purple slime shoots out of his TV at him. And it was supposed
to... sounds very 1990s.
It was advertised as, like, the most disgusting game.
Oh, yeah, because that was all the shit that was on TV. It was, like, the Double Dare. The Fun House was even grosser, and, like, all the, like, gross, like, splat and all that,
like,
stuff.
This game ain't disgusting. I played R-Type.
All right. We're going to move on to a viewer submission. I'm very hyped about this because we haven't had one of these in a while since Matt did one of these for MAGFest. But I did put the call out and I said, hey, listeners, if you're interested in, like, you know, highlighting a game or telling us a little bit about, you know, a game that you're playing or what have you, I'm looking for some listener segments. And leave it to good old Flocko Jones, who sent us this submission tonight, where he's going to talk to us a little bit about the game Paladins. And pay attention, because he gets into the reason why, and I think it's really cool. So we're going to go to this segment here, courtesy of our pal Flocko Jones.
Hey, everybody. This is Flocko Jones. I wanted to make this video because, well, first of all, Rob asked for it, and I thought it'd be cool to focus on a free game, because he said, you know, focus on free games would be good. And this came up recently because on OLR they were talking about Overwatch and how it doesn't support crossplay and how could they ever support crossplay. I'm like, well, there's a game that does support crossplay that's a lot like Overwatch. And so this game popped in my head. I'm like, oh, I should make a video for OLR so they can actually see the game in action. So this is Paladins. I'm actually going to make my camera go away so that I can focus on showing you the gameplay. And I'm going to edit stuff in so it's not just staring at menus the whole time, because I'm pretty much going to be talking over the menus. So this is it. It's free game, and because it's free, you can go to the store, and you can see all this other stuff they try to sell you, And there's DLC where you can actually get all the champions, current and future, for just $30, which I think is a pretty good deal. But I personally have never spent a dime on this game. I do my daily quests. I grind out gold. I use gold to unlock champions, which are, you know, like heroes in Overwatch champions in this game. I'm going to be comparing it to Overwatch a lot because the games are very similar. It's been accused of being Overwatch clone. I'm not going to fight that accusation, but I'm going to say it still stands on its own. All right, so, and I wanted to briefly show you, since we were talking about crossplay, you go to controls, you go all the way to the bottom, and this is where the crossplay is. The settings are right here. So you can say, I only want to go against people using a gamepad, or I want to go against everybody and have shorter queues. I do gamepad, I think it's more fair. And the reason they do that, they don't even say console, is because based on whether you have a gamepad plugged in or not, that's how it queues you. And if you try to queue in this gamepad and then pull it out and try to trick everybody and use your keyboard and mouse, that won't work. It'll kick you out of the games. They said so in their patch notes. So, yeah, I play gamepad only. I think it's really cool they allow that because it doesn't matter what platform you're playing on. PC, you're playing on Switch, you're playing Xbox One, you're playing, you know, Xbox One supports keyboard and mouse as well. So if you're playing keyboard and mouse on Xbox One, you still would be with the allow all people, not with the gamepad people, and it would show on your input method right there. I didn't mention Sony. I wonder why that is. Oh, because they're not supporting it right now. So they're not supporting crossplay right now. I think it's going to happen, but you know, there's been some controversy over whose fault it is, but the developers of this game said they're ready to go. The ball's in Sony's court, so hopefully Sony approves that pretty soon, because I would really like to play this on PlayStation. Let's see. What do we got here? Oh, yeah. So if you want to learn how to play, there's these training modes over here. They have trainings for all the different modes, which I'll get into those in a second, and they have a shooting range. In the shooting range, you can practice as any champion, and that's kind of cool, even champions you haven't unlocked yet. So I like that. There's no tutorial here, and I think that's weird. And so I looked it up, and sure enough, there is a tutorial on the other consoles, just not on Switch. They didn't put it on there because the file size would have been too big. So they cut that out. That's too bad, but, you know. So if you really want to learn how to play, it is a free-to-play game. You could download it on a different console and play it on there. And if you prefer to play on Switch, you can play on there. But again, it's cross-platform and cross-progression. So anything you do saves across all the platforms, except for PlayStation. So let's see, I said I'd get into the modes, so here's the different modes. Let's go to Quick Play and look at our settings. So there's Siege, there's Onslaught, and there's Team Deathmatch. Siege kind of plays like the Overwatch hybrid maps. Those are the maps where you capture the objective, and then once you capture the objective, you escort the payload. Onslaught, all that one is take the objective, hold it until whatever team gets 400 points first. The longer you stay there, you earn points, and getting kills also earns you points. And then Team Deathmatch speaks for itself. 5v5, you know, just try to kill as many as you can. So there's one more big difference between this and Overwatch, which is when you start this game, first they'll have you pick a talent. Every champion gets 3 talents to choose from. You select one, and it's kind of like your focus for that game. After that, you get to pick your loadouts. Now, loadouts are here in the game. If you go into a champion, you can go into their loadouts, and you can make new ones, or you can use there's always a preset one there, so if you're uncomfortable with this, just use the pre-made. But once you get good at this game, you can kind of build your own. So I think that's pretty awesome. And then after you pick that, when the game starts, they have this thing called the item shop, which I've heard is a lot like League of Legends. I don't play League, so I don't know. But as you play this game, you earn credits for doing well at your character's job. If you're healing a lot, you'll get credits that way. If you're standing the objective a lot, you'll get credits that way. If you're a damage player and you're getting a lot of kills, you get more credits that way. You spend your credits on this thing called the item shop. And the item shop is kind of, I think, this game's answer to hero switching that Overwatch has. You can't switch heroes in this game. So with the item shop, you can kind of see what the other team is running, or even complement what your team is running, and get items from the item shop to boost up those certain things. So you can have better healing. You can take less damage from direct damage. If the team has a lot of AoE damage, you can lessen the AoE damage just a little bit. You can lower your cooldowns. You can increase your ultimate, you know, generation. So there's all sorts of things you can buy in the item shop, and there's not anything you can pay to win. You just earn it like everybody else does by playing the game, and it's only for that match. They don't carry over, so there's no pay to win or anything in this game, which is kind of nice. So let's look at the champions. This is the bread and butter of the game. I have a lot of champions, as you can see here. I have all but, it looks like, 9 right now. But there's actually rotating champions, which I don't have all of them. Actually, I think I only have one of, I have 2 of them. So that means I'm missing 11 characters out of the 40. The 40-man roster is really good. So, again, they have these 4 that rotate every week. It's not always going to be these 4. I'm going to focus for this video on the ones that you get when you start the game for free. You've never played it before. And that is, the reason it's 4 is because there's 1 support, that's their healers, 1 frontline, that's their tanks, 1 damage, speaks for itself, and 1 flanker, which is the damage that attacks from the side or behind. Let's look at Genos. So Genos is the free healer that you get if you've never played Paladins before. And here's how the abilities break down. I'll show some video while I'm talking about it, so you're not just staring at this screen the whole time. So Star Splitter is his main attack. Everybody's main attack is the right trigger. It's just like a machine gun. You know, everybody in this game pretty much shoots, even the healers, and they do pretty well at it. You don't have to do a lot of weapon switching, which is pretty cool. So, and then his left one is his heal. The left trigger is his heal. And that his heal kind of works like Zenyatta. So he puts a heal bloom on somebody. It stays on him as long as you keep him in line of sight, and it does a good job. Stellar Wind is the right shoulder button. The right shoulder button on almost every character, I'm pretty sure every character actually, is like a quick getaway button. It's like some kind of speed button. So in this case, it's his Stellar Wind. He moves 65% faster, and you can even get a loadout where you take less damage when you're in that mode, which is nice too. So It's a really good way to escape from people. Something I kind of wish Zenyatta in Overwatch had was a way to escape, because he really doesn't. He's kind of a sitting duck. And then the left button there, the left shoulder button, is his Void Grip. You can also use that to escape with him, but it holds enemies up in the air, stuns them, does little damage. If your teammates are around, they can kill the person while they're in the air. It's a really cool kind of support ability. And his ultimate is through time and space. It channels this tunnel of, like, death, and it shoots anybody that's standing in the tunnel. There's like a kind of a cast time, so you have time to get away from it if you're paying attention. But if he's got you trapped and you're in the middle of a fight, if you're standing in that tunnel, you're dead. Okay, so let's go to the next free character. That's gonna be Lex. Lex is the free flanker in the game. Let's look at his abilities. He's got magnums. Think like Reaper's guns. They just shoot one at a time. Bang, 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 bang. They're good medium to close range. His left trigger is In Pursuit. That just kind of unloads his weapons even faster in like a short area, kind of like McCree's, like, you know, when he shoots off his guns really fast. His R is a combat slide. Again, you can use that escape or use it to close in on somebody and finish him off. His left shoulder is Retribution. You cast out on people, they take more damage. You earn credits when you kill them when they have Retribution on. You can spec for that to be better as well. And then finally, his ultimate is the Law. It's locked like McCree's ability, where you kind of focus on everybody in a little, like, area. When you shoot it off, everybody that's in the area, if they're 65% health or below, they get executed. It's great. Otherwise, they take 600 damage. It's still pretty good. So let's go to next is Ruckus. Ruckus plays a lot like D.Va from Overwatch. So you'll hear me say D.Va a lot. So Ruckus has these miniguns. They're kind of like D.Va's hand cannons. They shoot really fast. The longer you hold the button, the more damage they do. It's kind of cool. Ruckus's left trigger is a missile launcher. So again, kind of like D.Va, shoots some barrage of missiles at people. Advance is his quick getaway move. You press it, and he has rocket boosters, again, like D.Va, that'll get him in or out of combat depending on the situation. A 5-second cooldown is pretty low, too. You can advance to get in, shoot a bunch of people, and advance to get back out and go back to your healers. It's kind of nice. His left shoulder is a shield called Emitter. Gives him a bubble, absorbs damage. It's really nice, again, if you're in there being a disruptor like you're supposed to do, whether you play Ruckus or D.Va. Very similar play styles. And then his ultimate is Hexafire. It's just like a one where he just unloads all his weapons in like a just in pretty much a cone in front of him. And it does really good damage if you can focus someone down. If you get a lot of people gathered in one area and you unleash that thing, and especially if you use your emitter first so you're safe, you can take out like a lot of people at once. So finally, there's Victor. And Victor plays a lot like Soldier 76 from Overwatch. Sorry about all the comparisons, but it's just easier to describe it this way since more people know Overwatch. I know I'm feeding into the whole ripoff thing, but, you know, whatever. I don't really care. So his assault rifle is like his main gun. But on this one, if you hit the left trigger, you actually look down the sight, so you get a little bit more accuracy, but he does move slower. So you're not just shooting off the hip. You're looking right down the sights. his R, like soldier's, you know, right shoulder button is like a hustle. So he moves, he can run really fast, but he can't shoot while he's doing it. As soon as you start shooting, you come out of your sprint. Sprint is what they call it for for soldier. And then frag grenade is his left shoulder button. He'll throw a grenade. It does a lot of damage. You can hold the button, cook the grenade so that when you release it, it blows up more quickly if someone's closer to you. It's a really nice ability. And then barrage, his ultimate ability is really strong. And it kind of like soldier, again, focuses on everybody that's kind of in his sights. And if they kind of stand there too long, he could unload like a bunch of shells on them and do tons of damage. So that's pretty much all the characters that you get when you start the game. And they're not bad characters. Not like they just give you a bunch of pushovers. They're very offensive-minded characters, which makes sense because if you're just getting into the game and you just want to play a shooter and you're not comfortable healing or tanking, well, the healer and tank that they give you here are very damage-friendly. All those characters are really easy to use, and you can kind of start building a foundation in the game and then be better after you learn how to do them and you start unlocking other heroes and you start figuring out what's better. But I'll still go back and play those guys because they still do pretty good damage. So, again, it sounds like a big commercial for Paladins, but if you ask me, I still think Overwatch is a better game. I play it more often. I dabble in this game, but it is really fun. You can't really beat the price of free. If you're willing to grind, it's a good game, and even if you want to pay for it, $30 isn't bad to get all the heroes. And it supports crossplay, so if you want to play with your friends, this is a good game to play with your friends, because no matter what console they're on, except Sony, you can play with your friends. So again, I'm Flacco Jones. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Flacco_Jones. And that's it. Back to OLR. Hopefully that wasn't too long.
No, it was fantastic. Thank you, Flacco. And it's... there was a lot of work that I know goes into that video, especially because it's very clear he like had to play the game like multiple times and multiple characters to put the right shots in and stuff. So I really appreciate the time you took to put together that infomercial. Hi Rez, appreciate your time too. No, I'm giving a little crap because that's what I asked for. I wanted people to submit games or submit things, videos for games that they're like passionate about, that they have, you know, a lot of enthusiasm about, which, you know, even though kind of Flacco admits, Overwatch might be kind of the game I go to more often, maybe this game is still worth your attention, especially when it's something that's free and they do these kind of different ideas and things like that. So I've played a little bit of Paladins as well, and I thought it was interesting. I mean, I kind of went back to Overwatch, but I thought, you know, okay, this is something I can get into. Also, maybe I need to try it more on PC because I played it on console, and I'm just more of a keyboard mouse guy at the end of the day. So I do kind of want to give that another go, because one thing that I had a problem kind of figuring out was, oh, like, what do all these heroes kind of do and stuff? But Flacco did a very good job kind of demonstrating that little video, especially for, oh, these are all the characters that you're going to start with and so forth. So, yeah, shout out to our pal Flacco Jones. Again, it's Flacco_Jones over on Twitch. You should all go follow him. If you aren't already, that would be incredible. And thanks again, Flacco, for that submission. Very cool. And if you have a submission, get in touch with me on Twitter at Mr. Rob Roberts. We love seeing the listener submitted stuff. It's great. Otherwise, we've just been filling in with video clips of the news or whatever else we can think of. But it gives us a chance for us folks here in studio to take a little bit of a break. So, also in chat, I notice some folks, Flacco is actually in chat right now and getting some kudos there in chat, and rightfully so. Flacco says a 12-minute video and 45 minutes of playing for cover shots. Yep, that's it. But it looks like there might be some other Paladins players in chat, because Nifty's asking, which character do you main? So pretty cool. Good stuff. All right, let's move on with some other news that we have scheduled for tonight's show. Some rapid-fire news. Let's get some news kind of quickly out here as we travel around the studio and the world and check out quickly some other headlines we might have missed. I think we're starting tonight with Loki.
Yeah, so at the South by Southwest gaming panel, they had some details regarding a new game from Sega, Team Sonic Racing, which I think has been teased before, but they showed a little bit more on it. So they showed that... the different customization that they have in the different cars you can do, which is kind of cool. So there's quite a bit of customization available. I'm assuming based on what they showed, they says, you know, you can earn currency that allows you to unlock different things in the game and different customizations. I almost saw that as like monetization type thing, but apparently you earn it in game. So we'll see.
I want to say in previous games it was kind of like that.
Yeah.
In-game currency only.
The game is going to be released on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC on May 21st. The other thing they showed is there's going to be this Team Sonic Racing Overdrive cartoon that's going to be coming out. Now, when they say cartoon, not necessarily like on TV cartoon, but it's more of like a web series or something that they're going to do.
A lot of people watching YouTube these days, so it makes sense.
Which, you know, makes sense. They've done something similar with, like, say, Angry Birds had, like, a little web series and stuff that they did as well, which actually ended up on Netflix at some point. I know because I've seen it several times thanks to my kids. But they're doing something similar to this. There's not actually any spoken dialogue in the show, but it's just kind of, like, grunts and whatever. It's just, I don't know, it's very basic so that they can release it globally without having to localize it. So there's that. And I guess that'll be around the time that the game comes out. So we'll have to see. But the game's being developed by Sumo Digital. So I think they were the ones that did... weren't they the ones that did the Mod Nation Racers and stuff like that?
Yeah, the name sounds familiar. I just can't remember what else they developed off the top of my head. I know that name. That name sounds very familiar,
though. But it looked neat. It looked neat. So I'll check it out when it comes out.
Cool.
And then
Dartatuya thinks it was Outrun, by the way, the new Outrun that they did.
Oh, maybe. Hmm. And then, of course, Game Pass, we talk about that quite a bit. New game that's going to be coming, well, not a new game, but a new game to the service is coming out April 4th will be Minecraft will be added to Game Pass. So you'll be able to jump into Minecraft if you haven't already. I mean, geez, it's like 2019. But you'll be able to do that for free. Well, free. On top with excluding, of course, the $10 a month fee for Game Pass, but it's an additional piece that you get with that.
Yeah, when's the 4K graphics pack, by the way? Whatever happened to that? Didn't they announce that at E3 2017? Where's that 4K graphics pack?
Well,
I know I'm crazy 4K graphics for Minecraft, but the stuff they were like the weather and all that stuff was really good. Like I'm like,
well,
wow,
if you
want
to do that, it's already available on PC now. Yeah, you just have to do it with mods.
Mods,
so.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Java version.
All right. I don't know how I got the story on Mortal Kombat 11, but how about that? So there's more information on Mortal Kombat 11 came out this week. And apparently they're mentioning that NetherRealm is talking about how player data shows that – and this is interesting because, Jamie, you kind of brought this up earlier about how you prefer to play games. But the player data they're getting shows that single-player mode is one of the most popular ways for people to access and experience the game. So that's why – NetherRealm was kind of putting as much for a fighting game, which you typically think of as two player. This is why NetherRealm puts as much as they do into single player, because their data shows a lot of people are playing it that way. Mm-hmm. And Mortal Kombat does have kind of a rich, you know, compared to other fighting games, especially the newer Mortal Kombat games really do have a very rich story to them. So I'm not terribly surprised to hear that more people are experiencing it as a result. Also, believe it or not, some fatalities were too over the top and not really functional, so they were yanked or redesigned.
What?
How about that? They are not commenting on other characters from other properties. So all this BS about Shaggy or any IP that is not there
Shaggy.
In Mortal Kombat.
I mean, they could make it happen. It is Warner.
It's
not going to happen. But
right. But Velma, on the other hand, she came to kick some ass. No, I'm just kidding. They're not putting cartoon characters in a fucking game.
Just like Joker.
No,
you'd have better luck going for the Injustice series.
I was gonna say they're not gonna put, but they had Ninja Turtles. Well, that was Injustice as well. I guess
that was Injustice as well. So yeah, you should
find Shaggy for Injustice 3.
Go. Take your Shaggy.
It would be an injustice not to put him in there. And Scooby Doo.
And OLR's canceled forever. Good night.
And Scrappy. In fact, Scrappy can just be like one of those bonus games. Now, I know this
you
is
just
out,
beat the shit out of Scrappy.
This is not necessarily in the same series, but, you know, much like they have in Capcom Street Fighter series, you know, where you destroy the car, you can destroy Scrappy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. The story is roughly 8 hours long. What? $60 for an 8-hour game? Never mind.
Story
that
in a fighting game.
Fighting game, exactly. The Crypt is back, but they're saying a nice surprise for players when you see the direction it's taken. And let's see, features will be added to the game after launch, even in the first few months. And Kronika's mission is in the story involves rewinding time and starting all over, so merging the timeline so that the past meets the present. So that could be, because Mortal Kombat has a very, I don't know if you guys know, but Mortal Kombat has like a whole like Prime and Kelvin thing going on. the newer games are in the Kelvin universe. But I'm referencing Star Trek, obviously. But the newer games are in, like, a different universe because of what happened in the reboot Mortal Kombat 9.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that all goes
Universal
together.
Universal shenanigans.
Yes. So, anyway, that's Mortal Kombat. And quickly, let me also mention that the other story I had here is about the indie game The Messenger. And I have to admit, I didn't know a lot about this game until I was scavenging for the news this week. And then I kind of watched a trailer. And this looks really cool because The Messenger, it's kind of like it's a Metroidvania type of game. I know we hear that a lot. But it kind of seems a little bit like Ninja Gaiden, kind of.
Yeah.
But like,
Gaiden.
Amped up a little bit. And it's... something where you can actually switch between 8-bit and 16-bit mode by hitting a certain type of, like, marker on the, like, you've hit an orb and, like, it changes it from 8-bit to 16-bit, and that kind of, it's a time bubble is what it is, and it flips it between it, and it changes the graphics and the sound with it, and it changes the mechanics as well. So I think that's kind of neat. Anyway, it's coming to PlayStation 4 on March 19th, so this coming week, so maybe it would be a great time for me to check it out. Anyway, Dark Saga.
I don't know how many people in chat have played Dragon's Dogma. I started it and didn't like it. But they are going to be doing an anime that will be out on Netflix, produced by Sublimation. And basically, I mean, in the game, you fight a dragon and it steals your heart and you die and then you come back to life. And so you're trying to get revenge on it. Well, that's the plot of the anime. But it was said by Koishikawa Atsushi, who is the representative director of Sublimation, that they're really looking forward on it. And the last line is what gets me. We're excited to bring our unique cel-shaded animation that carries hand-drawn textures to anime fans around the world. So I think it should look interesting. But anyway, other news. There has been another unearthing apart from ECW wrestling, which everybody fucking knew existed. There was an Alien versus Predator football game for the Sega Genesis. At least there was going to be one.
Like football or
as in American football, as in not real football.
Okay. Yep. We're going to settle our differences on the 50-yard line. Yep.
That would have made a better movie, I think, than the Alien versus Predator movie.
And it was just a concept. It was actually just on, like, you know, a flyer. And it was called, like, Alien versus Predator Hard Bowl. No, Cosmic Hard Bowl. And, yeah, it looks pretty stupid, but...
But let's be real. Some of the greatest video games are really, really stupid.
I think I would have actually enjoyed this. But, I mean, this is, like, the best video game never made.
That's why I gave this story to you, because even though I know you're not a big football fan, I'm like, but I bet she would have played this.
I would have. Well, I also like Super High Impact.
That's true, and I like Tecmo Bowl. So even people who aren't into sports games, there's always something. There's always something that brings you in.
But the thing that's funny about the tweets about it is people arguing if a xenomorph would wear a football helmet.
Well, for safety.
They have those big, long, armored heads.
I want to see this done as a movie, but done in the style of Space Jam.
Did you see Alien versus Predator where he took the head off of one and used it as a shield?
No. No, I don't. I don't really watch. Well,
I saw that. That movie was rad.
I actually think I've seen most of the Aliens movies at this point. I saw Alien Resurrection in the theater with Winona Ryder. Okay?
I needed to see that only because I wanted to listen to what it could have been.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't know anything about the controversy or any of that stuff. I just
it was
saw
written.
It.
By,
I liked it.
It was written by Joss. It was changed up a lot. Yeah. And while I am very, 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 very disappointed in the person he turned out to be, at the time I was like, shit, I need to see this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard they ruined it, so I never saw it.
See, Tiberi in chat says, Freddy versus Jason versus Alien versus Predator, ultimate football. Why'd you leave out Ash, though? I'm just kidding.
Well, because he would just own them all with his chainsaw hand.
And Michael Myers. Come on, See, Tiberi. Jeez. Yeah.
Right. Except, and now, doing seriously on that one, I don't think that those are a series that could be combined because the slasher movies are different than the creature horror.
Right. But so. Mortal Kombat 10 brought, or I guess you are supposed to say Mortal Kombat X in that one, but it did bring over, because Predator's in that, right? And
but it's mostly humanoid.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So it would work in that, and they do have some kind of creature people.
Magic.
Wasn't one of the Call of Duty games, didn't they have, like, you know, this whole thing with, like, Predator in there? And then I thought, like, they also had
I don't know. I feel like these horror movie icons just randomly pop up in all your favorite video games. Like, I'm waiting for, like, Hello Kitty World featuring, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Predator.
I'm done. I'm down with. Let's do that.
Hello Kitty versus Predator.
Hey, Team Sonic Racing. You know who you need to be in those carts?
The Predator.
The Predator. Why not? It's canon because, you know, we saw in the trailer or something, some sort of video, we saw that the Predator was driving a tank. So there you go.
Okay. Dark Sakura, what video game do you want to insert the Predator in to make better?
DDR.
Dance or Die.
Dance or Die. Well, could you just, I mean, I'm sure they've done a skin for, like, a dancer being the Predator, but I would just jam with the Predator as my avatar on the screen.
I like Dance or Die.
Or, like, 2DX, and he would literally scratch the thing. And if you lose, he, like, stabs you.
Let's see. I want the Predator to show up at Mario Party when my friends piss me off.
Smash Brothers is an assist.
All
pulls
right.
out Mario's spine.
Let's travel around the world and check out some actual video games that are coming out around the world with our world release date, starting in the U.S., Loki.
All right. We don't have a whole lot coming out this week. We've got Super Robot Wars T on the Switch and PlayStation 4. We have Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. Now, that's a pretty big one on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Then we have Unravel 2 on Nintendo Switch. And that's it.
All right. Heading over to Japan and checking out the releases in Japan this week. And honestly, do you need anything else after I read this one? Dead or Alive Extreme 3 Scarlet is out on PlayStation 4 this week. I mean, what else do you need?
Is that Scarlet as in the Scarlet letter?
No, but you know what the Dead or Alive Extreme series is. It's Barbie for men, basically. It's it's what these games
like
are.
Half of those games out there.
Anyway. And so, I don't know. Jamie, you going to play some Dead or Alive Extreme? That's the it's beach
Probably
volleyball,
not.
But they just dropped the beach volleyball thing.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is just dress up for hormonal men.
Anyway. Atelier Lulua, the Alchemist of Arland 4 is also out in Japan this week on the PlayStation 4. Super Robot Tyson T is also out on the PlayStation 4 this week. And Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon is out in Japan this week as well. Everybody. Instead of everybody, it's every B-U-D-D-Y. So cute little play on words there. And then on the Nintendo Switch this week, that same Chocobo Dungeon game is also out in Japan, as well as Atelier Lulua. And how about that? I did not realize this, but that Dead or Alive Extreme 3 is also on the Switch. The Switch is also getting Super Robot Tyson T. And that is your Japanese release dates. Dark Sakura, how about the UK?
Well, for the UK, it looks like what we've got is on the 21st, the following, Unravel 2. We have Air Conflicts Collection, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, Fate / Extella Link. We have Our World is Ended that's actually it. So all on the 21st.
All right. Okay, now we're going to move on to our mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails, or maybe you don't, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we log into the email bag and read our favorite emails here live
two
on air.
Them.
Okay, there's only one when I checked, so all right, cool.
All right, so the first one comes from Ranma.
Hi, Ranma.
Good evening, everyone. So, Rob, as per our brief discussion, ABC is bringing back Card Sharks and Press Your Luck. Have you thought about streaming on Twitch yourself playing game show video games? I think that would be pretty fun.
Yes. Yes and no. So I have not thought about myself playing game show video games, although I think that's a pretty rad idea, and I think I'm going to do it. I think I will play those games. It would be fun to play with people online as well. Have I thought about streaming game show content before? Yes. That's all I'm going to say for now.
Also, my next two questions is for the entire staff. One, what game show would you love to host? Fuck me.
Pressure Luck. Oh my God, without hesitation. That would be such a fun show to host. I wanted to be a game show host when I grew up, by the way. And this is about as close as I get to live out that fantasy. So
I really wouldn't want to do any, except maybe Family Feud, because I think I could out Steve Harvey.
Okay.
I'm pretty good at looks.
With the really fake, like, I can't believe they said that.
He doesn't do an I can't believe they said that. He just gives people this look like, bitch, what? which is what I would say.
Oh, that look. Okay, yes.
Bitch, what? No. You can't say that on TV. Go back to your desk. You're grounded.
Sia Tiberi in chat says, would you do like a Jackbox Games night? That actually seems like a really obvious idea that we just haven't done yet. I think we should plan like a VOG Jackbox night. That'd be
Loki,
fun.
Loki, what was your...
Yeah. We got to get your game show, Loki.
My game show?
Yeah, what game show do you want to host?
I would host...
Double Dare.
No. Double Dare is kind of boring.
Bumper Stumpers to come back.
What?
Bumper Stumpers.
Yeah, I remember Bumper Stumpers. It was like a license plate based game.
Yeah, we had to translate the license plate.
But it was like answering trivia questions with license plates or something.
Got
like
it. Yeah. Okay. We'll just do like, I'll say Starcade.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Why didn't I say that? That should have been my number one pick. He put a sandbag on the question by bringing up Pressure Luck earlier in the email.
So Starcade would
but
be.
But it's a close. It's a tie. Both.
All right, two. What game show would you like to be on? Rob, we know it's Supermarket Sweep, so you can't say that one.
Pressure Luck.
I would also say Starcade. It's not on TV anymore, so I guess that doesn't
You can
work.
Say Supermarket Sweep. I'm the only one forbidden from saying Supermarket Sweep.
I don't know what things
answer.
Cost at the supermarket anymore.
Honestly, I want to be on Jeopardy before Alex Trebek dies.
Oh, my God. Bobby Blackwolf, nail on the head. The Mole. I didn't even think of that as a game show, but I guess at its core it is. The Mole is the greatest reality show they ever made, and it is a crime that it is not on TV because none of you assholes were watching it.
No.
And it was a great, like Anderson Cooper as a fucking bitch hosting a show was divine. It was great. I love The Mole. There was never a better reality show.
I really like those reality shows like that.
But it's
except for Drag Race.
It's different. It's not, it wasn't, I don't know. I can't explain it, but a show like The Mole felt more James Bond than it did Real Housewives of Atlanta, if that makes sense.
Mm.
I mean, there was the episode in the revival season where the one chick told the guy, I'm going to kill you in your sleep. But that was, you know, that was just one moment.
I don't know. A good game show would be To Catch a Predator.
On a game show?
No, but
there are no prizes.
But then we could bring the Predator in.
No.
And it's a whole different show then.
I always feel like the family got something when they caught the shit.
To Catch a Predator with the Predator.
Well, if you see the human Predator get stabbed by the Predator.
I meant the alien
then that
Predator.
That would be awesome.
All right. Anyway. A Fifth Dream Today says, Rob should replace Julie Chen on Big Brother. I really appreciate that comment. But first...
I don't know, what show would y'all see me on? Because I don't really think I would be on a game show.
Truth or Consequences. Focus on the consequences.
Do I remember that one?
It was a very old show.
I'm just thinking
the consequences part.
What was the other one with Chuck Woolery? One of those other
Scrabble?
USA Network ones. Not
he was on
Scrabble.
Scrabble.
There was Bumper Stumper, Scrabble, and there was...
He hosted, when Millionaire was really big, he did Greed.
This was around the same era in the late 80s.
Love Connection.
Wasn't the other one I was thinking of. I wouldn't be on Hollywood Squares.
Okay.
But I want, like, what's-his-face to come back from the dead and be on it with me.
God. Paul Lynn.
Paul Lynn. I want to be on there with Paul Lynn and Carol Channing. If I could do, like...
Who will also have to be brought back
from the
dead. Who
also have to be brought back from the dead.
You want to do zombie Hollywood Squares.
No, I don't want it to be zombie. I want it to
be... But you want all these celebrities back from the dead.
No, I want it to be like time travel kidnap Hollywood Squares.
But somehow drag queens are involved as well.
And also, not only would I have Carol Channing... I would have Stalker Channing and Channing Tatum so they could be a diagonal.
This is the weirdest Bill and Ted I've ever seen. We're kidnapping all of these people from different timelines to put them on the Hollywood Squares.
That should be my comic. Is the time travel kidnapping Hollywood Squares.
I don't know why I'm laughing, it's so stupid.
And the top square?
It's brilliant. That's why we need to make it a movie.
And wait, the bottom square would be the Predator.
It's such a stupid plot, but I mean, what else are people doing is remaking movies.
We lost Rob. So that's it for now. Take care and see you all on the flip side.
News story were we even talking about? Oh, it was an email. Of course it was.
Well, did you hear how it ended?
No, I'm sorry. I missed it because I was laughing.
That's it for now. Take care and see you all on the flip side. Okay. That's from DJ Ranma Is.
Thank you, Ranma.
All right. Delete and next. Dear Orange Lounge Radio. I hope this email finds you well, as I am currently typing it while in the bathroom at work. Thank you.
Thanks for that.
You're listening to KTMI. Too much information all the time. Randomly, an OLR quote came to mind that had me giggling. Uh-oh, I said it too. A long time ago, Jamie shouted Uranus Daryl during an OLR episode, to which Rob countered with something along the lines of, "We are not having this conversation." As host of the show, do you have a favorite funny memory of it that comes to mind every so often? Thanks for reading, and I love you guys. Sincerely, Garth Wolf. I don't know.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I like drinking and seeing the wall kicking and...
God, I try to forget that.
Eating
episode.
Half a box of waffles. Can Thank you, Loki.
Can you imagine if episodes 1 through 100, which were the really like 1 through 100, would be
fucking
like
the
pre-podcast era, when like there was no structure to this show. There was absolutely no structure to this show, and it was just like we take a break every now and
it
then.
It was floppy boobs.
It was real. Like it was a mess. Can you imagine if that had been on Twitch? Like that's why I was saying earlier, I don't want 13 million followers because somebody would find those shows.
It would be like triple D's with no bra. That's what they're like. Painful and floppy.
Yeah. No, I mean, but there were some good times. There really were some good times in those eras.
I'm trying to think of something.
Well, okay, the first thing
I just keep thinking of waffles.
That I think of regularly, and it's still like I'll be in the most random place, and I think
and
of it, and I
laugh. Deep fried rice by Loki.
It's a Loki moment, but it wasn't on the show. It was when we were interviewed on the news. And the
house?
Only clip they put in of Loki without even his name on it is just is just him going, "Oh, it's so much fun."
Yeah.
And the greatest thing, it's on YouTube somewhere. I think on the old ass Orange Lounge Radio YouTube channel we haven't touched in like 10 years.
My old newspaper finally destroyed itself. Like I had the newspaper I'd saved that. And it just, it's all destroyed.
Mine's very yellow, but I have it in like this plastic thing that keeps it kind of straight.
So
where they had a picture of my foot.
Okay, real quick for the listeners who haven't heard this story, and I apologize because some of you have heard this several times, but many years ago when podcasting was first becoming a thing and like it just got onto iTunes and was getting out there, of course, everybody wanted to talk about podcasting. So our local news station, I guess, put like Sacramento Podcast in iTunes and found us. So they came out and we did like a fake show for them that they could shoot. And then they interviewed each of us about the show. And so each of us kind of have a little talking head moment in the clip about it. And I think I'm probably saying something about like why OLR started. Dark Sakura talks about, you know, why she does it as a hobby or whatever. And then the only thing they use, they don't even put his name at the bottom of the screen or whatever. It's like some type of follow up to a comment. It's just him going, "Oh, it's so much fun." And then that's it. And when we saw that back on the news, Loki's reaction to that was like, "Fucking really?"
There was at least like several minutes of footage, and they like took like this fraction of a second.
That's what it's like to be on reality TV, by the way. There's just that whole – anyway. But with the news segment, which I really – now that we are a video show, one of these days I need to like clip it and put it on. But I just – technically, it's not ours.
Let's do it next week. Who cares? Okay, no one's going to care. They're not going to.
Who cares? But what was the other thing I was going to say with that? They never – also in the story, they never mentioned the name of our show. Remember that?
Yeah, that was stupid.
They never said Orange Lounge Radio is this show. They never said the name of our fucking show and the whole thing. They show the dude searching for it. So you can see him type in Orange, but they never say these guys host Orange Lounge Radio. They say these three, they say Rob Roberts and Jamie Summers and Matt all host this show out of the apartment in Rancho Cordova and blah, 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 blah. But they never say it's Orange Lounge Radio, which was just kind of the topping of the cake. Yes.
Mm-mm-mm.
Anyway, somebody, thank you. Tiger Claw dug up the article and put it in our chat. So there it is.
Oh, Lord.
SSG 100 Matt reminded me of another moment. It was
Lord to protect
peppermint
me.
Time and mint, but that was a whorehouse joke.
I'm really just trying to think of stuff because it's like just little clips just from around the show, but maybe not during the show. Like the fried, you know, cornflake coated rice balls when Loki got a deep fryer, and waffles, and dunk.
See, I don't. The funny moments are good, and I appreciate those as well. But I also remember like a lot of not to be too sappy, but a lot of the serious stuff like jumps out. Like we did a live broadcast from Pier 39 on the internet before anybody did something like that. Like, we did that. And that was what probably would have been the year 2003 that we did that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Some of the great emails that have come through the years, you know, the part of the motivation that's kept me doing the show.
People who've become our friends.
Oh, for sure. Oh, God, for sure. Friends that we made. People that will email and say, I had help accepting my sexuality because you're out there presenting yourself, Rob, and I saw some of myself in you. And that
people telling me to get in the kitchen.
But that's not a positive thing.
But you know what? I positively think those people are morons.
Well, you know what, though? I think despite the fact that that's shitty, and I'm not going to talk positive
about
it.
Well, you know how much of a shit I give about it.
Well, I think, but it helped you. I think in the beginning, you were kind of like, what the fuck is it? Like, you know, but it kind of like, I think helped you like.
I cranked the feminism to 11.
Yes.
It's like that art project, complicit in my own discrimination and then hyperfeminist. Not shutting up.
Sia Tiberi in chat with a newer moment saying, I remember that time Rob mangled the Carlton dance and Loki refused to floss. See, that's something a little bit newer. And thanks or no thanks to the Twitch clipping feature, which I just saw my earlier laughing fit popped up as a clip.
I'll friend your butt.
I'm sure now some of these moments are probably going to be frozen in time. So it'll be interesting to see the result of that. But
SSG 100, Matt also brings up that we broke the news of Bin Laden.
Oh, yeah, some of the serious shit that happens, like right in the middle of our show.
We've really had a lot of shit happen, though, on this show.
Well, we've had some heavy topics. We've had some very heavy topics.
Because the world's been through shit just in the last few, you know, couple decades. Because we've been doing the show almost 2 decades. Coming up.
Give
17 years.
Yeah, I know. 17 years this June. Yep.
And we've all of, bless you, we've all gotten married.
Yeah.
Matt spawned.
Yep.
Made it other tiny humans based on his DNA.
OLR's futures, yep.
Well, more like Nelly did the hard work.
But yes, Loki contributed something.
Yeah. We have moved a bunch of times. I bought my first house.
Yeah.
I've been through a couple of jobs.
We have pets that have come and gone. Like, you know, obviously Shermie was the mascot of Orange Lounge Radio for a very long time when we were doing that at your house. Not to make you sad, I'm sorry.
It's okay, no.
But I think it's,
I love Shermie's big belly.
The great thing is Shermie is a part of OLR's history. And, you know,
the ferret.
Just like now we have Mr. Smush. Yeah. It's kind of filling that role. So, yeah.
Midna hasn't been on the show yet.
Yeah, because we just haven't really been doing
the show.
I would
bring her over, but she would cry the whole time.
Yeah.
Mom! Mom! That's how she meows. Mom!
Real quick, just a couple more self-indulging moments here, and then we'll move on, I swear. SSG 100 Matt says, you also... Oh, I'm sorry. I did read that comment. Metal Mayhem says, I still remember Rob's epic diva fit. You know, that's not a moment I really look back on fondly, but... And do you... That all was on Justin TV.
Yeah, it was.
That was the time when we were doing this for the first time on Justin TV. That whole diva fit happened. And I remember, because part of what made that so funny slash interesting is that I stormed off, and Loki just, without skipping a beat, goes, all right, then, let's go on to the next snake story. Like, he's trying to be professional in the moment or whatever, and then I think he reads a story, and then I come back, and I'm like, I've got something to say.
Well, also, DJ Rama S points out that we spawned other shows.
Oh, yeah, that's quite the compliment. Absolutely.
She-Hulk misses the FUs.
Well... But keep in mind that there was a period of time for sure where gamers didn't necessarily need to be associated with negativity.
If you want FUs, just read my Twitter.
We can still do them once in a while. We haven't done one in a while.
Maybe we should do one real quick.
I don't have the music
anymore. We'll just do a quick one.
You want to do a quick FUs of the week?
Quick FUs of the
week. Can we just like insert music here?
Insert
I don't have
music
the music
here.
Okay.
All right. So FU goes to capitalism and misogyny. Your turn.
My FU of the week goes to myself for not going to the gym today because I slept for 10 hours because I've been so tired today. And FU to I think today was definitely a crash and burn day. I think yesterday and today have both been like just crash and burn days between like Vegas and go and all this other stuff. Like I think I've just like emotionally and physically like crashed. And then I hosted a show Friday night too. So I think I emotionally and physically crashed and burned these past couple days. And it's not the best feeling in the world, but doing this show is pepping me up.
I do have one more because it's very important.
All right, hurry.
Then my uterus for cramps.
Well, sorry to hear it.
Okay.
All right, Loki, last but not least.
I guess my FU was to my migraine, but it's gone now, so I don't know.
Oh, I'm good. Glad your migraine is gone. You were right.
Apparently all that caffeine did it, along with the other stuff, and that's just for now.
So. All right. That was it for emails, right?
Yes.
Okay, then I suppose this video game podcast should get back into some video game topics, huh? Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Back into the gaming news. Oh, but please feel free to email us in the future. Participate at orangesoundradio.com. But meanwhile, Loki?
So Valve's going to start cracking down on some of these review bombs that have nothing to do with necessarily maybe reviewing the games. It's more of, like, I guess people using the platform to attack other things that they don't like. Like, for example, I guess would be if said company was coming out with a decision that somebody didn't like, so they took, you know, their previous game they released and review bombed it because they didn't like a certain decision or something like that. So what they're going to do is try to identify those and then remove those from the way it calculates the review scores based on those types of reviews. They're saying that the reviews themselves are being left untouched, if people want to dig into them, you'll still be able to do so. But they're making it clear that, you know, the ones that are going to be, I guess, highlighted or whatever are going to be not those ones that are off topic.
Well, good. When I go in to read game reviews, I don't need to hear about what people think about the policies of the company or something that was said on Twitter or some comment that somebody affiliate. I just want to know, is the game good? Yes or no? That's what I want to hear about. So I'm glad they're going to try to do something about it. I mean, it seems like that's an awfully big undertaking for a store like Steam, which is barely managed as it is to undertake. But
to do anything.
Yeah. I know. I was like, we'll see. It's a nice thought.
Did they ever take down the rape game?
Oh, sure. Of course they did.
Good.
But the fact that it went up in the first place because Steam doesn't really moderate a lot of things. So it's interesting to see that Steam is suddenly going to moderate this. This is how's that going to work? I don't know. Anyway, Kaijudo in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork says, I don't like the review bombs, but I think Valve is making a big mistake. You have to let the community police that stuff. People are smart. They know a bomb review from a normal one. They need to not attach the game's score to the review. I think user reviews should be unscored for sure. I think that would be a great way to start. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting retort by Bobby Blackwolf that I think is very succinctly put. Bobby Blackwolf responds to Kaijudo saying, a person is smart. People are dumb.
A fucking
That man. Is a very succinct, good comment. Gold star comment of the week. I can't believe we're going to keep it in the family, so to speak, and people will claim that nepotism is coming into play and the fact that he does the show before ours, but I think Bobby is deserving of the gold star of the week for that comment. All right, moving on. Let's move on to something that is a little rough for the folks involved over at Axiom Verge. It has to do with developer versus publisher. Of course, if you haven't played Axiom Verge, it's a really cool little Super Metroid-ish type of game. It was free on Epic Game Store for a little bit. It was free there, but not anymore. But you could buy it, and it would be worth your money if you haven't picked it up one of several other ways. The game is still supposed to get a physical release on Wii U. I don't know why you would bother at this point, but I guess because they promised it or what have you, they're going to deliver.
Well, I think that's through that the one company.
Limited Run?
Yeah, Limited Run.
Oh, okay. So it is a collector release. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Yes, the distributor Limited Run Game and the business manager have said that the publisher, Badland Games, still owes them $250,000. So what happened is that Limited Run says that Badland owes it $78,000 for physical copies of the game that it never delivered. And then Badland did not pay Tom Happ, the one-man band that made Axiom Verge, the sum of about $200,000. That was also supposed to be money that was going to pay for medical treatments for Tom Happ's kid, which I seem to remember has come up with this game before, is that, you know, he's been using the money to pay a lot for medical-related things for his kid, which, you know, is obviously, you know, nobody likes to see a sick kid. So a lot of people are happy to support this game to know that that's where some of the money is going. And so this is, you know, now it's getting ugly because it's on Twitter. And now, Adelman, who is the business manager with Limited Run Games, Dan Adelman says, Badland has literally stolen money from a disabled toddler. It's basically what he's saying on Twitter. Yikes. So anyhow, this is very ugly between the two of them. Nobody was commenting in an article that Kotaku ran earlier this week. And don't know what this is going to do, if this is going to impact that Wii U release. I don't think it will, but it'll be interesting to see how that whole dragging through the mud and all that will possibly change things. So they're saying we were still planning on dividing up the proceeds on the original terms. So 6,000 copies of the Wii U edition were made. There's a soundtrack, an art book, and other extras. So it paid Badland.
Oh, it's coming on the Wii U?
Yeah, I said
I kept thinking
Wii U.
Switch. It's out on the Switch. Man, why are you so late on the Wii U?
Collectors.
That's
what I said the whole time, right? So anyway.
I don't know, I kept hearing Wii U or like hearing Switch instead of Wii U. I was like, oh, okay, Switch, that makes sense. Mm. And it's like, Wii U, wait, why no?
All right. Anyhow, Bobby is admitting that quote he said came from some movie, but I didn't recognize it because he's thanking the chat for not saying what movie. We may have to revoke the star because it's not an original quote. All right, you get a half star. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us? We're almost to the call segment, but not just yet. But Dark Sakura?
Well, there's been a rash of arrests made in Ahmedabad. I always mispronounce it. But there were people who were arrested across the state after playing PUBG because several the games of actually games of that line, online multiplayer games, were banned on the grounds that it was leading to violent behavior among children and younger people. They arrested three people in different parts of the area after they were caught playing the game. And the police commissioner issued a notice banning even more of that it actually started on the 14th. So they were booked under Section 188, the disobedience to order duly promulgated by public servant of the Indian Penal Code. So stupid, but that's what's going on in the world.
This is like the movie Footloose all of a sudden. You can't play PUBG
first person,
in public.
Any first-person online multiplayer game.
Wow. Yep. Interesting cultural differences being discussed tonight, that's for sure.
Between March 12th and 13th, Rajkot City police arrested 10 persons, including 6 college students, for playing the game despite the ban.
Wow. All right. I guess for all the things we complain about, sometimes it sure could be a lot worse. We may not even be able to play video games, let alone talk about them the way we do here on Orange Lounge Radio. All right. Well, thanks for bringing that to our attention. Meanwhile, we got a couple more stories for you guys, and we're going to be taking calls via our Discord server. If you would like to be on the show tonight, head on over to the green room at our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. Loki?
Well, one game you won't be arrested for playing is Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? And you can actually play this for free now thanks to Google Earth. So if you go to Google Earth, they actually have an option now. It's Catch Carmen Sandiego. And you basically play a little game that's, you know, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, and follow clues. And
has it been updated for modern maps?
Well, it's a great advertisement tie-in for the new Netflix series is what it is.
Yeah, so it's pretty awesome. And you get clues and you go off to find Carmen Sandiego. And yeah. That's pretty cool.
I think that's a cute modernization. I mean, you know, using Google Earth, but still at the core having Carmen Sandiego be about, you know, learning about these different cities and the artifacts and the museums and the places of interest that are in these cities and kind of learning what's where, what's the capital of what. I mean, that's, you know, that's what those games were all about.
I'm surprised that's not a thing that's like a Niantic game. You know, like, not necessarily world traveling, but like within your area.
Within your neighborhood?
Like trying to find Carmen Sandiego or one of her henchmen or something like that.
I don't think Niantic hasn't done anything like that. Like, you know, and maybe they're worried about flooding.
Where in your
places.
Hood is Corey Santiago?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, where
Corey
in your
neighborhood?
Where in your neighborhood is this? I have heard about live event producers. So there's been this article that's been floating around my Facebook because people think of me when they think of Clue the movie, which I appreciate. It is my all-time favorite movie. But I guess they're doing like a live Clue event here locally. Mm-hmm. Like it's like some type of late, but it's not really the board game Clue. It's just like a murder mystery thing that's like themed on Clue, I guess. But my point is, I think they use a phone app that you like, you pay money to play this event and then you get all the updates through the phone app. And I've heard of this being a thing lately because this isn't the first thing that I heard of. I also remember seeing something for like an Amazing Race style thing, but it's all through the phone. But here's what they do. Like, they offer like a big prize to the winner, but they let like thousands of people sign up for like 20 bucks a pop. And like the winner gets maybe like $10,000. So it sounds like a lot of money, but it's not nearly as much as these guys are making off it. So they give that prize. And then not only that, but like if you get stumped along the way and some of the clues are like really hard, you have to pay for more clues.
Oh, that's lame.
Get it? So
pay to win.
That's a thing, but that isn't, keep an eye on that stuff because somebody's making money off these live event games, not Niantic, but definitely these like neighborhood event day type of things. So that's a thing. You probably seen these advertised on Facebook in your neighborhood as well. So anyhow, all right. Is that?
I have regrets.
Oh, from eating that donut that you were showing off
amazing,
on the feed.
Amazing, but like, there's a few foods that will always make me sick, and I know better, and I don't give a shit. Ice cream and donuts.
Yeah, it's like me and coffee. My doctor told me to stop drinking coffee, and I was like, "We're gonna have to negotiate this because you and I both know it's not gonna happen." So we negotiated. Anyway, one more story, and this is about Snapchat. Because I'm sure lots of you guys here in studio use Snapchat, right? I don't know. I guess I've used Snapchat. It's very similar to Instagram has the stories, which they kind of stole from Snapchat. But Snapchat is another way. And Snapchat is also kind of like a lot of people associate it with like people sending nudes to each other because they're supposed to self-destruct in 24 hours or whatever. So this is, of course, you know,
because that's how the internet works.
That's how anything works, right? We've talked about the whole time to penis before. So, of course, they put a thing like Snapchat out where it's like, oh, the picture's self-destruct in 24 hours.
Sure they do.
You know that, right? But it's supposed to tell you when a screenshot's taken, but there's all sorts of ways around. Nothing you send is truly, truly that type of private, but whatever.
Oh, it's that type of private, all right.
I left myself wide open with that joke. All right. Anyway, my point with this is Snapchat, they are trying to get away from being known as the app where you send nude pics. They're trying to do more like event-based things and stories like on Instagram. And maybe this is something they want to do as well. Supposedly, Snap is going to be launching a gaming platform as well. It's a rumor right now. It's apparently codenamed Project Cognac within the Snapchat walls. Externally developed games that will work inside the Snapchat app. They are saying that it'll be similar to like Facebook's games in the Messenger, which I think I've talked about and then never played in Messenger on the phone. Like, I know it's a thing. I did the Pac-Man thing like once. That's it. But supposedly Snapchat would be something like that. It'd be like an instant game. So I guess you could like play it against friends. It may also involve streaming of esports events, you know, around the world, which, you know, that's a little more like, that is one part of Snapchat that's interesting that I think Instagram does this, but it's harder. But on Snapchat, there's like a big map of the world. And if somebody's made their story public, you can watch public stories. So you can go to places of interest like museums and stuff and see people in real time like submitting snaps from these places of interest. And I think that's one of the cooler features of it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they want to put gaming into it. So because Snap has been struggling to increase their user growth. Probably because Instagram is offering a very similar thing, but Instagram is also owned by Facebook, which is a whole other thing. So anyway, it should be noted that Snap had recently acquired an Australian gaming company called Pretty Great and also a web-based startup called Play Canvas. So they think the unveil could be around April 4th, which is when Snap has a developer conference scheduled in Los Angeles. But it's certainly possible that something could come up around GDC as well, but it seems like Snap may decide to keep that for their own conference that they are having on April 4th. So there it is. With that is the last scheduled story we have for tonight. So I think we're going to go to some listener calls and participation. If you want to ask us a question in chat over twitch.tv/VOG Network, you sure can. But we also want to talk to some of our listeners and take some calls. And then we'll get last-minute stories as well. So I see a call sitting on the line, and they have mentioned what they want to talk about. And this sounds like a topic I would like to hear about. So let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Marcus or Pixelpacas.
It's so great to hear from you. We see you all the time in chat, but not as often on the phone. It's great to hear from you. What's on your mind tonight, Pixelpacas?
Not much. I just sort of wanted to talk about this event I went to this weekend called Arcade Expo. And it is a convention or whatever, basically, where they have over 1,000 pinball machines and arcade machines.
Oh, it's one of these. Free play. It's one of these type of things. Like, we have it like California Extreme. Yeah. And I know Bobby really loves the Southern Fried Game Room Expo they do in Atlanta. Where is this expo?
So it's in Southern California, kind of in the middle of nowhere. If you know where Banning is.
I do, because I saw an ad for this on Facebook because I was looking into going to it, but I didn't because I had a conflict on Friday night.
Yeah. So it's there where there's basically nothing else. Except for, I guess this is actually a museum of pinball where they hosted it, which I had never heard of before either. At least that one. I know there's one in like Vegas, but I think they're totally separate. Either way, it was like tons of games, open for hours, you know, from like 11 to 2 a.m. And it was just kind of awesome how much there was. And it actually wasn't super crowded. Basically, if you wanted to play a game, you wouldn't have to wait in a long line for the most part, except for like a couple new pinball machines, like, were super crowded. Everything else, you'd be able to either just walk up and start playing, or you would just wait for one person to like finish their game, and then you could jump in. So it was really great. They had a bunch of other stuff. You know, it wasn't just the pinball and arcade machines. They had some panels, some like movies that they were showing, you know, all gaming related. Chiptune artists were there as well, playing music at night. They had some arcade machines outside, so you could play like Under the Stars or whatever. Lots of food, themed food. They had tater tots shaped like Tetrominos. So it was just a really cool, fun event that I had never heard of before until like this week, and decided to go to it.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. It definitely sounds just very similar to the California Extreme event that happens up here, Santa Clara, right? It was at the same hotel where Gamer X 4 was at, right? Right next to the convention center near the stadium, I think. That Hyatt is where they have it. It's a very similar thing, except I thought the gaming out under the stars, that's unique. That sounds really cool. Now I know, like, when I go to these types of events, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never got to play this before, and now I did, and that's awesome. Like, was there a game that you like had never played before that you got to play at this event that made you excited?
Yeah. So, probably the most interesting thing was that I got to play Computer Space, which is one of like the oldest arcade games, right? And I had seen that, you know, online, the pictures of that like crazy looking cabinet and stuff, but I'd never had the opportunity to actually put my hands on it and play it. So that was really cool. And then there was just a bunch of like old pinball machines. I've never played anything particularly old in the pinball scene. So this is like the stuff where they don't have all the fancy audio and graphics going on. It was just sort of like a board with some lights, and then they just have like dinging bell noises when you hit stuff.
With the scores on the wheels instead of an LED display. Yeah. Old school.
Like 60s style. You know, we own one like that, Spanish Eyes.
Oh, I didn't know
one. We loaned it out to somebody, but
there was cool. When I was at the Vegas Hall of Fame, and I didn't include this in the video last week, but there was like a little like ice skaters table that was kind of cute that was like that.
Remember the Buggles based off the Beatles?
Really? No, I didn't. I don't remember that one.
That's one of those 60s ones.
Oh, how funny. Yeah, no, there's a lot of, like, if you go to these pinball halls of fames, and there's another one of these pinball.
I think you can see one at Alameda.
There's Alameda one in the pinball. Bay Area that I've yet to go to, and I really need to. I think Darksoccer and I need to do a road trip out there someday. I'm sure, yeah, it's always neat, because, like, usually there'll be, like, one row for tables from the 60s and 70s that are these, like, older styles, and they're really neat.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of the older style ones, and no one was really on them, so it was, like, me and a bunch of them just, like, ringing bell noise, you know, constantly in this corner of the hall, but it was fun. I really enjoyed the whole thing. Apparently, they do other events at this Museum of Pinball, so even if you missed it, this one, there's going to be something else later this year, I think, where they have another sort of similar event, so I would definitely recommend it to anyone who's anywhere near to Southern California, because it was a blast.
keep me in the loop if there's something that you think would interest us here at OLR. You know my Twitter and all that, because, I mean, we're far, but we're not that far. So, like, you know, for an event like that, if I had not already been committed to hosting an event on Friday night, which I was, I would have seriously considered coming down for that, because it, I saw the ads on Facebook and I looked into it and I was like, oh, this just sounds like California Extreme, but it's in L.A., ish. I know it's like out there, but you know us in Northern California, we call everything like past the grapevine is LA. Yeah. So it sounded really neat. I would have gone.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. So I just wanted to sort of share that with anyone. I was considering doing one of those listener video things, but then I was like tired and slept too late, so I didn't do it.
All right, that's okay. Next time. But yeah, I mean, a lot of big cities or metro areas have an event like this. And, you know, the size of it probably depends on the size of where you are. I just mentioned a moment ago, you know, Bobby has worked a lot with one in the Atlanta area, the Southern Fried Game Room Gaming. I always say Game Room, but they changed the name, Gaming. Mm-hmm. So Southern Fried Gaming Expo. Actually, VOG Network sponsors that. And if I am not mistaken, we'll be doing so again this year. And I know he's a big proponent of that. And I would love to go. If I didn't already do one, like, week-long trip to Atlanta every year, I'd love to go to that event. It sounds like a lot of fun. But a lot of areas, I'm sure there's one in the New York area. I'm sure there's one in Chicago somewhere. I'm sure there's, I mean, all the big cities have to have something like this, I'm sure.
Yeah, but that's all. I just wanted to let everyone know. So thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much. And please keep us in the loop of anything else that space might be doing that we should be interested in.
For sure.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Let's get to another call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Metal Mayhem. How are you?
Hey, good. Good to hear from you. What's up, buddy?
I just had a follow-up call to last week's call, so stay a while and listen.
Sure. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I'm sounding slow or look confused. Your audio sounds distant tonight. I don't know what is weird, but try to get your question or comment out. We'll do our best.
Well, if you remember last week, I called in about possibly buying Diablo.
I do remember that. Yes, because we had spotlighted that in the little break segment last week. So what happened?
Two things. I bought it on Thursday. This is something I rarely ever say. I paid full price.
Which is not full price, really, for when the game first came out, but sure.
Well, full price is supposed to what they normally charge for the game on the platform. Which is a rarity for me, because I usually 99.9% of the time I wait for sales. So me paying full price is like extreme rarity.
Okay, yes. And I do remember we were talking about this and I said, you know, weigh the pros and the cons and blah, blah, blah. So you jumped in. And so the question I would have is, was it worth it, though?
Yes. You know, let's put it this way. I've been playing it more than Magic the Gathering. So... I know. Whoa. Are you having a fever, Mello? You're not like a secretly a clone, are you? No, that's something. That's something I almost never say. I mean, I think from like breaks to take care of like IRL stuff, I've been playing that constantly. So, I mean, there's a little bit of a difference between, the PC version versus the PS1 version that I remember from way back in the day. I'm loving it. One thing I would recommend is that, for people that the game back in the day, be it the PC version or the PlayStation 1 version, the game is available again and it works on modern machines. Now, I definitely would recommend getting it. Like the 20 plus year old game, and it's not like the latest greatest game. It's now high res graphics or anything like that, but still, it's a fun to sell a game. It's definitely well worth the price point. You can't go wrong. things, you know, so...
Well, I mean, you're cutting out a little bit, so I want to jump in just because it's a little hard to understand, and some folks in chat are confirming it's not just me. But it sounds like, you know, you are rediscovering this. I'm still a little puzzled as to why Blizzard didn't just do it through their own app. It seems like a really weird missed opportunity, but okay. I mean, maybe this will convince them to make Diablo 4 a little faster as opposed to a Diablo mobile phone experience, which would be just lovely if they would get on that. So, all right. Well, Metal Mayhem, I'm going to let you go just because we're having a little hard time understanding you. But thank you so much for the call. Take care and have fun gaming. All right. I don't see anybody else in the green room right now. So let me see if we have any other stories, last minute stories.
Yeah, didn't make our show roll, but No Man's Sky Beyond.
Oh my God, how did I not get this in show roll? Yes, this is kind of a big deal. Please.
They announced. So basically, it's the next free update that's going to be coming to No Man's Sky, and it's going to add a ton of stuff to it. It looks like they're kind of turning it into a No Man's Sky MMO type of thing. So yeah, they basically said, we don't consider No Man's Sky to be an MMO. It won't require a subscription, won't contain microtransactions, and will be free to all existing players. But yeah, it's definitely teased, and it's a new big significant update that they're going to be doing. And it's going to be coming out around the summer. So it's part of, and that's just apparently one part of, I guess, Beyond, which is going to be three different updates. So looks pretty cool.
It's pretty amazing that they're still continuing to support that game as strong as they are, especially after such a backlash that game had. They kind of stayed committed to the game that they envisioned putting out. And, you know, I think many folks have been happy with the more recent, you know, changes that were done. I know I did some streams a while back, as did Bobby, when the last, what, No Man's Sky Next, or whatever they called that, the first time it was out, came out. And, you know, I think a lot of people were kind of happy with that game and where that's at. But to hear that they're going even further is so cool. I love it.
Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how that works as an MMO, though. I'm not too sure about it, but we'll see. So, Kaijudo says, "Yikes! I hope the game can be played offline. That's all I care about."
I don't think No Man's Sky can be played offline.
Can it be played? Because you can lose connection to the server and you still keep going. So I think the game will try to put itself online because it's for the database of what all the planets are named and the species and things like that. Even in the earliest versions of the game, you weren't necessarily interacting with other people or whatever. But like, I think the game will function when offline. It just won't download the database of what everything is named and so forth. And you may have conflicts with names. Okay. Kaijudo says, yes, you can play offline. I do it all the time. I don't know why they would suddenly shut that off then.
Yeah.
I don't see why.
And then there's a new game coming out from Avalanche, Generation Zero, which is like a survival game, a co-op survival game. It's similar to, I guess, a little bit like Horizon Zero Dawn, but it takes place in the 80s, and you're like these kids that come back from vacation, and everybody's gone, and there's these like robots hunting people down, and it's about you surviving. So they said you can play the game single player, but it's going to be incredibly hard because it's scaled for, you know, four-player co-op. But it looked interesting. Very similar, like the robots you kind of go against look very similar to like Horizon Zero Dawn, but different, obviously. And that's coming out on the 26th as part of an early access thing. I think it's only on PC, though. It doesn't say if it's console, but... And then finally, PAX East is right around the corner.
Oh, gosh.
And with PAX
East... I'm surprised that hasn't happened already. I thought it was in February when I went.
No, March 28th.
No, the snow was going really late in the year, I went. Yeah,
March 28th in Boston. And Gearbox already has a nice little teaser on their official Twitter showing. It says, March 28th, Boston, Massachusetts. It's fucking Borderlands 3. Or it's another Borderlands thing. Because it's what it looks
like. Somebody pointed out it's Exit 3. On the little teaser image. So it's,
it's Borderlands 3.
Which, is anyone surprised that Gearbox is making Borderlands
3? I'm not surprised.
Of course not.
And I'm excited.
Excellent. So, all right. Well, I don't see any other calls in our green room waiting to go. I don't know if you had anything else last minute to bring up, Darksakura, but...
No.
All right. Then I think we might be at the point where we're ready to wrap it up. So I do want to thank everybody for listening to OLR tonight and participating with our show, be it through the chat, through the call-ins, or just your support by listening on the podcast that we do every week. You can always help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can't get all the voices out there to air if they're not here joining us. And not only does that all help if you just directly tell somebody, but a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or Google or wherever you found this podcast. And now that we're on Twitch, those hosts are great. So please consider putting Vogue Network on your auto host list. That would be fantastic and really help spread the word as well. We appreciate all you guys that support the show through subs, through biddies, through just listening and being aware of us. We appreciate it all. I think it is about that time we go around and get everybody's final thoughts so we can wrap this up for the night. Loki, your final thought. We'll start with you.
My final thought is I'm going to keep working on game development. It's really hard, but finally, I don't know. I'm trying to stick with something.
My final thought is I want to keep going with this routine that I've set for myself, but I also want to make sure I get in some gaming time this week, because I haven't really been playing enough single-player games, so I'll try to work on that this week. Last but certainly not least, Dark Soccer, your final thought.
I want a nap. I'll just go to bed. Except reasons.
You should come over and play DDR.
I would be happy to. I need to work that out. I really do. Okay. I know we always talk about it. But now, especially now that the weather is less shitty and before it gets too hot.
Yes.
We need to make that happen.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, that's it.
I feel like I'm about to explode.
You're going
to
explode from?
From eating everything.
I almost got you two of each, so I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah. No, the other one's going to be part of breakfast tomorrow, but thank you.
I figured you could just eat some now and eat some later.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
All right. Well, if you do explode, explode into a glittery mess, but not in the house. All right.
I'm not going to be like, you know, Monty Python's Meaning of Life.
All right.
It's just a wafer thin mint. Fuck off. That's not going to be me.
That's it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. We will see you again next week. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.